content may not be suitable for all audiences. Listener discretion is advised.
This is PFW in progress.
It's a Mega Bowl. What's not to understand? This is history in the making. You're going to want to tell your grandkids and their grandkids and their grandkids. And when they look back in the annals of history, they're going to be talking about three things: discovery of fire, invention of the submarine, and Mega Bowl.
PFW in progress with Fred Kirsch.
I mean, you can just think of me as Bambi's mother. I make sure nothing bad happened to you.
Bambi's mother got shot, right?
Yeah, first scene.
I remember that. The credits were still rolling and everything.
Paul Perillo.
The crowd is really excited tonight.
They know what's at stake, Dick.
Yep.
Now I'm talking about free corn dogs.
Oh, that's right. It's free corn dog night.
And Andy. And Andy?
Here they come, the Flint Tropics Ball Girls cheerleading squad, keeping the crowd energized through the timeout.
They just got such big...
What?
Hearts.
Yes.
Big, bouncy, jiggly hearts.
Well, hearts don't really bounce, so now I think you're talking about something else.
Andy Hart.
But I like breasts.
Eric Scalavino.
It's a great question. Tomorrow... after the game, I will wrestle a bear.
You're not going to want to miss this, folks. And if you're a small child, you creep into your mama's bedroom at night, and you lift about $40 out of your mom's purse.
For now, anyway.
Stewie's insane. He can rip my head off.
PFW in progress. Part of the Patriots Football Network.
Stewie?
Ah! Everybody panic! Oh, my God, there's a bear loose in the Coliseum!
All right, welcome to PFW in progress. Another edition of the off-season specials here at Gillette Stadium.
And sentences that aren't in the proper order with their words.
They're all special, right?
Yes.
In the off-season?
They're like children. How can you love one more than another?
That's right. Eric's here. Andy's here. Pepe Le Pen is going to be tweeting live during the show. Kevin's in the booth. And Paul is sick.
Again. And you know he's... not kidding, because it's a show day.
Right.
He would never miss a show.
Right. So I guess he's having some gastronomic problems.
Yeah, something like gastrointestinal, that. Gastrointestinal, probably.
Whatever.
Gastronomic.
Well, with him.
He's having food problems. He couldn't cook this morning.
Yeah.
So he decided not to show up.
Well, he's got stuff orbiting around other stuff inside of him. There's a lot going on in there. So we'd rather not have him in the state.
No.
So
don't need to get.
But
sick.
Later on in the show, or coming up pretty soon, we'll have Dante Stallworth. So stay tuned for that.
Mm-hmm.
That should be interesting. He's
yep.
doing the car wash today.
See if we can keep up our stretch of good interviews.
Yeah,
getting guys comfortable.
He
and
was
playful.
Always a good interview.
Oh yeah,
yeah.
He's
yeah.
a
he
fancies a himself an intellectual and a what do they call that with lots of interests?
Renaissance man.
Renaissance man.
Yeah. Okay. So he'll be by, and we've got a lot to talk about. Things are happening. One thing we'll set the table with, Wes Welker's interview he did yesterday with WEEI.
Yes.
Talking about the 99.5 million reasons why he won't miss a game this year.
Mm-hmm. Kind of a little spin on the Terrell Owens. He's
right.
got 25 million reasons to live.
Right.
Mm.
So we'll talk about that. The Patriots officially signed Tavon Wilson, their second-round draft pick.
And officially... got the hell out of here with Mike Hartline.
Mike Hartline era is over.
Turn off your Hartline.
Yeah.
It's a short one.
The other thing we might want to touch on, and we talked a lot about it last show, the whole concussion and safety. The NFL just announced in the Saints that they're doing a replacement helmet program for kids down there. 15,000 helmets they're going to be replacing, something along those lines.
Getting rid of all the old, I think 10 years or older helmets and replacing them with more modern.
Yeah.
That should be a topic today. We actually had a very good email. I don't know if you read it, where a guy sent in a lot of his research and links to articles.
Really,
and I read a bunch of those, and that might be a topic today. The most fascinating thing I found there was, that there was this, I don't know about groundbreaking, but very informative study done at Virginia Tech or somewhere down there in 2003. It's already 10 years old, and it feels like it hasn't gained much traction with these recordable helmets that send information, and it just seems like it's so new, but it's a decade old.
And I told you why last show, and I'll repeat it again, because that's not where the money's at. You follow the money. There's
but
no
the money,
money
is
to be
there,
made.
Because if the league goes poo-poo,
right.
then all the money goes away.
Well, there's money in liability and all that. But
there's also money investing in your product, and your product is the brains of the players.
There's not a big economic incentive to do it yet, but now.
There should be.
Now,
there's 1,800 players suing.
Now there is.
See, but it's Bass Ackwards.
I know.
Oh, wait, they're going to sue us for $10 billion. Now we should get new helmets. How about you spend whatever, even if it was $500 million to get the best helmets,
right.
and it isn't. Right. It isn't that much.
No.
But even if it were, that's good money. Eddie, it protects your product.
You're preaching to the choir.
That's like shipping a whole shipment of oranges in like a bouncy truck and then realizing, hey, we probably should have put those in boxes. They're all rotten
right.
when they got there.
It's orange juice when
you
it gets
idiot.
There.
I sure, know. You save money on some boxes, but now you have no product.
You're absolutely right, but that's how things work sometimes, and it's too bad. You know that whole prevention is worth an ounce. What is
a pound,
it? Pound of prevention
is worth an ounce of cure,
or something like that. When anyway, that's what
an ounce of prevention is worth a pound
I
of
was
cure.
Thinking that doesn't seem to make sense.
Right,
I got
right.
into your
that's
throwing
what the
bad
NFL
money
did.
Up to good analogy.
Right. But people don't think that way.
But they should.
I know. You're right.
It's just so short-sighted.
You're right.
Although for them, maybe it's not because they've been getting away with it. If you believe the players for decades,
well,
they've been short-sighted.
And it's that tightrope. If you start acknowledging it's a problem, then you have to address it. If you raise your hand, so we didn't know up until now it was a problem. You're lying. You're trying to alleviate your liability.
Liability. It's your ability to lie.
Right. It's very complex. All we can say at this point is it's good that they are addressing it now.
Should you ever get the feeling that if Roger Goodell listened to this show and we collect a paycheck from the Patriots, he'd be pissed?
Tell me one thing we've said that isn't true.
No, I'm not saying that, but that doesn't mean he'd like it.
Yeah. When supposedly the lie happened, he wasn't the commissioner.
Right.
So,
but now it's on his watch. Now it's his.
Now he has
to
do
up.
Something, and it looks like he is.
And I agree with Ocho Cinco. I think he's in a tough position. I mean, Goodell is trying to balance everything all at once. He can't just admit, yeah, we effed up, because, well, now that's in court. As soon as he says that we effed up, that's all those people that are suing the NFL have that on their side to get money.
Maybe at some point he wrote an open letter to Goodell. Maybe at some point in the show, Matt or Kevin, you can bring that up and I'll read it. It's not long.
No.
But he makes some good points in it. He really does.
Yeah.
Yep.
And I don't know if he wrote it himself or had somebody help him, but
I bet
it sounded like his voice.
It did.
He's no dummy.
No.
He's crazy like a fox, and I think that was his.
Yeah. So maybe we'll get into that a little later. But let's talk about Welker. What did you think about what he had to say yesterday on EEI?
He said what we've said all along.
Yeah, and I don't think he said anything a whole lot different than what he had been saying. I think
a little more positive tone,
maybe a little bit more positive, but
it was a tonality issue.
Yeah, I don't think for a second anybody really thought that he was ever going to drag this into the regular season. For the reasons that we've expressed on this show, he'd be throwing $9.5 million away, or at least
a portion
of it, however many games he missed. I think he was a little bit more optimistic about showing up for minicamp, which the previous comments he made publicly, I think, suggested
the June minicamp.
He was going to try to play a little hardball.
But he didn't really say he was going to.
No, he didn't.
I want to, and I can't. We're waiting. We're kind of waiting.
He says, I'd really like to be there.
Yeah.
And I think if you go
he'd
back,
also really like $40 million.
Sure. And if you go back and look at comments that probably other players, like I'm just throwing Vince and Mankins, early on in their negotiations, said probably similar things, like, I'd like to be here. Well, yeah, we get that. No kidding. So it's not really like he's saying anything newsworthy.
Yeah, there was no news yesterday. We knew he was going to be here when games started because he wasn't going to give up $570,000 a game. And we knew he wants to be with the team, but we're in a waiting period to see
Although,
how that works out.
I do think his statement yesterday about not missing the regular season was a little bit more definitive than he had said before.
It's news because he said it.
Yeah.
I think everyone else had assumed that was fact already, that he's going to collect those paychecks.
Right.
Now, I still think there's a good chance he gets a deal. I still think there's a chance that he shows up, signs the tender, or what have you, and then a couple days later,
they work out
there's
something
else. You know, kind of that, well, he showed up, he did what he had to do, now we're going to do what
the
we
good
have
faith
to do.
Thing.
Here's your 3 years, not $27 million, or 4 years, $32
million. See, I don't. And I'm usually the
You think
optimist.
It's one or the other?
I think he comes in when he has to in order to play, signs the tender, and he plays it out.
If that's true, then he's going to go down as one of the most unfortunate or players that in professional sports.
Why do you say that?
Because
he's not going to get a huge deal afterwards.
He's never going to get his money, and he should get it here. This is people want Wes Welker
as
a Patriot.
Well, that's not to say next year he won't get something. Maybe not from us.
See, I think not going to spend almost $10 million this year when you can lower that for. You would do it now, I think.
Yeah,
if they don't get a deal, I think there's a good chance then he's gone.
His chances of getting a better deal a year from now are
here.
anywhere are slimmer.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, he gets older.
He gets older.
There's a chance of an injury. There's a chance his numbers aren't as good. Yeah, I don't think you pay him $9.5 million this year and then give him $27 million next year. I don't think that makes sense. I think you give him 4 years, $32 or $34 million this year. I mean, you do it a different way.
Okay, so let's hardcore businessman. All right, you're the owner of the team. What's your play here? What's the advantage of giving him a deal?
If I'm a hard line businessman,
yeah,
I think he plays under the tender and I let him walk. Chances are I've seen his best production. I've gotten great value out of him. Mm. The timing was terrible. As I said, he should have held out a couple years ago, but he couldn't because he was recovering from an ACL injury. Yeah. That was the time to bank on it. And it's just, it's unfortunate.
So even as a fan, you should be conflicted because you love Wes Welker.
Sure.
You want him to, you know, get paid.
Yeah.
But at the same time, you love the Patriots and you want them to do what's best for the team.
But also in there is some degree of who are the receivers going to be at the year after this?
Right.
You know, Branch is gone. My guess is Ocho, for the most part, is gone. You know, Stallworth may be gone already. Gonzalez may be gone already.
Right.
Lloyd will probably be here.
Right.
But is the relationship with Brady going to be enough where Lloyd is your number one guy and he can catch 100 balls? Are the tight ends good enough? Or do you start to get into contract issues with them?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, there's a lot of kind of eggs.
That's a good point. I mean, other than Lloyd, a lot of these guys are one-year guys.
Lloyd is the only lock, in my opinion, to be here in 2013.
So that's a good point, and in Welker's favor.
And Welker's never been hurt except for the major injury.
Yeah.
You know, he's been pretty much healthy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, he's older. Yes, he's taken a lot of hits, but he's always gotten up from those hits.
Yeah. Now, Gaffney signed a 2-year deal, but that doesn't necessarily mean he'll still be around next year.
He could be.
He could be.
Yeah.
You know.
Now we get back to what the conversations we had a few years ago. The higher Gaffney gets on the depth chart, the less you like him. I think personally. I know he led the Redskins, but
and the more you need him,
right?
And the more you need him,
he's
more you
at his
him
best
right.
when he's a 3-4,
yeah,
and coming in and matchups and making plays, you know, key catches, that key catch in Baltimore.
Yeah. Right.
I think the more you see him, the less you want to see.
See, I think the next thing the Patriots need to think about is Gronkowski.
Oh, yeah.
You gotta,
I don't do anything
all
with
this
any
goes
of these.
Away. Yeah. All this production goes away,
yeah,
and the whole trickle-down system goes away if Gronkowski isn't on your team.
I don't necessarily agree with that.
This offense, you have to rejigger the whole thing.
Well, this offense was very productive before Gronkowski.
No, but it was a different
type
offense.
Yeah, it was wide receiver heavy.
But now you have Brandon Lloyd.
No, I know, but once you got Gronkowski here, and Hernandez, but once really Gronkowski, you could do things you couldn't do before.
I think you were right the first time. Don't include Hernandez.
But particularly in the red zone, you became much more effective. He made you more effective in the red zone.
In a different way.
In a different way. But
you were very effective in 07 in the red zone.
In 07, but not.
Because the red zone started anywhere from the 50 on in.
But not the year before Gronkowski, you know, got here. They had
in a transition.
Yeah, they had problems. And now they've become centric to the tight end.
But
if
you lose away, you find another way.
Well, but it's not going to be with a tight end.
You draft a receiver in the first round.
But you're not
going to
find another Gronkowski. Don't count on that.
He's the most unique tight end in the league
That's what I'm saying.
I would not make a move that involves jeopardizing Gronkowski. I have that $40 million or $45 million in an escrow account right now, and it goes to him when he needs
it. And I would do that as soon as the season's over.
Sure.
And I may not even wait until the season. I might do it in November.
I would not be surprised that sometime this year he gets an extension.
You know, this whole thing is we don't do these things during the season.
Well, they do, though.
Yeah.
They did Matt Light during the season. Yep. They've done him during the
season.
I know,
but if he comes off,
Ty Warren,
you know,
I think.
You know, he had the injury.
Brady, technically.
You know, I'm assuming if he comes in healthy and is as durable as he has been and productive, it doesn't have to be that a level. Last year was incredible.
He won't get to that.
But, you know, where you can see this is who he is, I would pull the switch in November, December.
As you should, because he is irreplaceable in his specific role. Yeah. If you choose to replace him, you have to go in a different direction, theoretically. But I think you can do both. I mean, I don't think a contract to Welker for $9 million a year necessarily handicaps you. You're just going to spend your money differently. You don't give Ocho $6 million. It's just different. Branch will be off the books in a year at whatever he is, $2 million last year. I mean, you can do whatever you want to do.
Okay.
Wow, you're really negative, though, huh? So you think Welker just going to...
No, I just... right now.
But see, I think your theory makes no sense for him to sign a long-term deal after this year. Because right. now you're in Gronk mode. You'd rather stagger it and get some bonus money in this year and do it this
way. But you made a good point. If the Patriots are looking beyond this year, it's good to have Welker in the fold because he is something you can count on.
Because now you're back to potentially, you know, Brady's buddies. Gaffney gone, Welker gone, Branch gone. Yep. And I know he likes Gronkowski, but I don't know how good he'll feel at 36 years old, kind of maybe another transition or change.
Yep.
So I just think it makes a lot of sense. He's, as they always say, more valuable here than he is maybe somewhere else at this point in his career. And I don't think it's that much money. You've almost always paid a receiver big money somewhere along. You know, Moss was on the books for $9 million a year for 3 years. You know, you can find a way to get it done.
All right, webradio at patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the ace ticket hotline. How are the Patriots going to cope without Hartline?
I want him to sign Aaron Korp.
And tell us who he is.
Just a JAG undrafted player, went to the Bills. They cut him. Started his career at USC, so he's a physically gifted guy. There were some reports that he nearly beat out or did beat out Matt Barkley. Then he had an injury, transferred to Richmond. Wasn't very good there, I'm going to be honest. Some of the numbers aren't that good. But just a purely number four, physically, give him a chance, got the size, see if he can develop.
Yep. Okay.
Okay, good. Yep. Or Chris Sims could just do it.
Chris Sims is here. Yeah.
In a scouting role, I believe. Everybody's reporting he's an assistant coach. My understanding is he's not an assistant coach. He may have some tweener duties that cross over from scouting into assistant coach, but
he's out there throwing footballs.
Well, so, they'll do that with anybody who has an arm.
Yeah, and don't forget Nick Caserio did that for a couple of years too.
I got a rope.
No, actually you don't. It's a limp noodle.
Actually, I do. He says.
He doesn't. I've seen it. You're like all lefties, awkward. Sims is actually a lefty too. So.
Yeah,
which is awkward.
Paul wouldn't like him because he throws with his left.
Luckily, he's just a coach who
now,
warms
it's funny too that Paul throws with his left and he hates all lefty
because he knows he was a. I just almost said a bad word. Crappy quarterback.
We still have to do the batting cage thing, Andy, because Paul thinks he can strike us out.
That's true.
If you really think that's ever going to happen.
Now Wilson signed his second round agreement with the Patriots. Is he the first guy that they drafted that they signed? I thought they signed one of the late round guys.
I thought they did too. I don't even know.
No,
not officially. Anyway,
not officially.
Officially, he's the first one to sign.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, maybe it was. It's hard with them because you think of signings happening twice when they happen and they're reported, and then when they announce it 5 days later, it feels like two different signings.
Exactly. Yeah, I for some reason I thought maybe one of the late round guys or two of them got signed. I could be
wrong.
Doesn't
matter. They'll all be here.
Yeah,
they'll all be signed. The new system's great.
But I read
something
from Greg Rosenthal on NFL.com that's saying maybe he signed so quickly because he was so, grateful for being taken in the second round.
They all have a slot that they're going to get the money for. So you're going to get your little bit more than the guy that got last year in your spot. So Chandler Jones will get his. I've heard that he wants to sign. I don't know why it's not done or whatever, that he's anxious to get it done. They're all anxious because there's no room to negotiate, really. It's just it's kind of a slotted system these days.
Yep.
How it should be.
Now, we got some emails. I saw people angry that Tavon Wilson was paid $4
million. $4.2 million.
Well, you have to be angry where they drafted him then. Because when they drafted him there, that slot comes with a certain contract. That's all he got was what was slotted for him. Mm-hmm. And that, if you think he should have gone the seventh round, well, he would have been paid like a seventh rounder. Mm-hmm. But he's a second round pick.
Right. James Pettigrew, the most interesting Patriots fan in the world.
He saved big money today with Paul not being here.
That's true.
Big money.
That's true.
Cuts that right in half, that lunch tab.
Yep. He says, how about signing Welker to a deal that brings him in line with Brady in terms of time, then dealing with them as a package before their last year for picks, etc. as a pair? Would we get more in return? Just a business spin.
3 years, $27 million, right? Because Brady's,
Brady's through 2014.
Give Welker three more and you're done.
Yeah.
Then you can cross that bridge again in 3 years.
Trent from South Dakota writes in, what's the big deal of signing a three-year deal with Welker? If he gets injured, say, in 2013, we can release him then, right?
Yeah, but a three-year deal would come with some guaranteed money.
Exactly.
You're probably talking, three years, $27 million, you're probably talking $14 million guaranteed.
Yeah.
Which isn't horrendous.
Take half of what the total is, and that's usually what the guarantee
is. The rule of
fitty.
And in another slant, John and Lynn our,
good for him.
Our in-house limericker.
It's weird that he can write poetry while in Lynn.
He says, all pro stats Welker yearly achieves, making countless tough catches with ease. So it caused much dismay. A throw high and away made him look like a man fighting bees.
Poor Wes.
Yeah.
Wes is more.
It's all right. We'll win this year and all will be forgotten.
That's right. In New Orleans, where it all started.
That's right.
It'll be so cyclical. And they'll all retire. Brady, Belichick, Welker, they'll all retire.
Hey, it was a good run. What are you going to do?
It's over.
We didn't really talk much about
Brady's
Tuesday,
comments,
right? No, we didn't
Brady's
talk about
comments?
The coaching assignments.
Oh, I thought you
that
were
came
talk about
out.
Brady's.
When did they come out? Friday?
Yeah, it was last.
I have trouble with schedules.
Yeah, I think it was Friday evening.
Yeah,
Matt Patricia officially was named defensive coordinator. Pepper Johnson has moved to linebackers, and Patrick Graham has moved to defensive line. But I thought the most interesting thing was Steve Belichick, Bill Belichick's oldest son, has been hired as a coaching assistant. And some wrote that that's a sign that Bill's here for the long term now.
Yes.
Because he's going to be, you know, putting, you know, teaching his son the ropes. And you know, that's going to take more than a year or two. So
especially starting from scratch.
Right. So it's a sign that he'll be here long term. I'm not sure about that. I thought he was here for a long term anyway. I'm not sure that changes anything.
Yeah, I'm not sure that changes much, but it was the news story of that day. Even though Matt Patricia was named coordinator and all that, the news story of that day was Belichick's son joins family business. That was all the headlines.
Right. All right, so as we speak of coaching changes, another change on the team is Dante Stallworth, who has signed on in the offseason, back here in New England as wide receiver. Is Dante's mic on?
Yep.
Okay, Dante, welcome back.
Thank you. Thank you. Appreciate it.
How you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing
have you settled good. In yet? You know, have you got adjusted, or are you still kind of scrambling outside of the stadium?
No, I'm pretty much, you know, my focus is on work right now. So, you know, as far as living arrangements, I really haven't figured that out yet. But you know, my whole focus is coming here to work and doing whatever I can to make sure that that I'm ready to go when Monday comes, and you know, hopefully after that, you know, we'll be ready to go and put together some good practices.
See, if I were you, what I would do is I'd call Brady and say, you know, Tom, you're not here. Give me the key to your place. Let me stay there.
That's a good idea.
I hear he's got a nice place.
That's a good idea. I'm glad you put that in my head.
I'll take
idea.
Care. Make sure, you know, nobody breaks in. I'll be there.
Yeah, house it.
Exactly. It's a good idea.
Now, have you had much time to look at the playbook? Because obviously this is your second tour here, but a lot of changes. Josh left, came back. Does the offense look a lot like the one you left, similar? What's your reaction to the playbook?
There's a lot of familiarity in it. You know, the good thing is that you know, with Josh being back, he's bringing back some of the things that that he initially left with, and also adding in some things, and a lot of it is pretty much still the same. But I just, you know, it's been a while, so you know, like anything, you know, just have to readjust myself to it. And and you know, that's another thing. Like I said, I've really been trying to focus on is you know, relearning the playbook, and so far so good.
Have you gained, because you've bounced around a little bit since you left here? You've been, you know, Cleveland, Baltimore, mm-hmm. Washington, so you've been in a lot of different schemes, quarterback. Have you gained any appreciation for the stability that's here and the offense and all that now that you're back a second time?
Yeah, because a couple of those places that I've been, you know, it's kind of changed throughout the course of maybe 3 or 4 years. But here it's pretty much been the same. Speaking offensively with Tommy, and you know, pretty much the same offensive system. So the stability here is, you know, it's pretty much been the same for a really long time. So you know, the good thing with that is that Josh, like I said, now that Josh is back, and a lot of the stuff is still the same, but at the same time, I'm still relearning everything over. So you know, hopefully by the time we start training camp, I'll have everything in my mind and be ready to go, and you know, look forward to a good camp.
Hindsight being 2020, would you have preferred to stay after 2007 as opposed to moving around like you did?
Yeah, I knew it was going to be a little difficult, you know, with all of the receivers that were here at the time. I knew Randy was on a 1-year deal, mm-hmm. and Wes was owed a lot of money. So the way my contract was, was that I was owed a lot of money, and the great thing about that was that I heard from Mr. Kraft, I heard from Belichick, and I heard from Pioli, and we all talked about it, and you know they explained to me the situation. I knew the situation, and you know there was no bad blood leaving at all. And you know, we played 2 years ago when I was in Baltimore. We played Kansas City in the playoffs, and you know, went up to Pioli, gave me a hug, and you spoke of it earlier. The stability here is has always been awesome. So there was no bad blood. there's no bad
That's
blood
all,
at all.
No disrespect to the other quarterbacks you played with, but is Brady different? I mean, because I've called him like a coordinator on the field. He's almost like a coach in the field. Do you find that, you know, now that you've played with other quarterbacks and even before here, is he a little different from a mental standpoint?
Yeah, I think so. And, you know, and like you said, no disrespect to the other quarterbacks, but Brady's one of the best players to ever play this game, not just quarterbacks. He's one of the best players to ever play this game. And you have a better appreciation for it when you actually play with him and you can – see how he operates in the huddle, even in the classroom, throughout the week. It's just amazing, and guys feed off of that. And you know, he's obviously a big part of the reason why they've been successful here, why we've been successful here, you know, over the past decade.
Where are you now physically? Obviously, you're getting older, kind of getting that.
Shh, don't tell
anybody. But I mean, you entered the league as like a 4.29 type guy.
4.19.
Oh, okay.
Whoa.
Sorry.
Whoa.
How come every time I bring up a 40, everybody is always lower?
That's our pride.
Will Allen said he was
actually it was 4.22. Right.
Every one of you guys, you got that number in your head.
Yeah.
4.19. That's blazing. That is.
Yeah, I'm not sure I buy it. You're getting into like Bo Jackson territory there. I'm not sure I buy that. But
delayed start on the
yeah. His mom actually did
right.
The clock. So, where are you now, though? I mean, do you still feel like you have those types of elite wheels, or have you maybe become a little bit more of a cerebral guy with your experience? Where are you in what you can bring to the field?
Yeah, I've definitely become more cerebral in, you know, just with understanding defenses and understanding certain coverages, what they're trying to do. You know, even certain situations. That's one thing that Bill always talks about is, you know, every game has its own game within the game. There's always different situations, and you know, understanding those situations, like what coordinators are trying to do to our offense, it's basically like a chess match. And I think you know, earlier in my career, I was mainly just playing off of talent, didn't really understand the defenses and the coverages and everything. But now that I've gotten older, you know, I've definitely have noticed that, you know, you try to break it down as simple as you can. When you're a young guy, you're just out there running around. You know, there's a story when I was my rookie year, I ran the wrong route and still scored a touchdown. It was like ridiculous. But now, you know, you understand certain things. Like I said, the different situations. I've definitely become a lot more cerebral in the game and understanding defenses. But you know, it's 10 years of the NFL. You know, I don't want to say my skills have diminished, but I'm not that 4.19 guy anymore.
If you ever were.
Well, hey, look, he's 4.29.
Right.
I'll take it.
Right. I'll take it. Are you the fastest guy on the team, you think? Can you still run that fast?
Oh, boy. I'm not sure.
Fast as you need to?
Yeah, I think as fast as I need to. You know, the last time I ran a 40 was for the Ravens when I was coming out on their turf, and I can't remember, it was like a high 4.3, something like that.
Well, if Ray was chasing you, then you know you could run a little faster.
Right, exactly.
But now speed, straight line speed, obviously is something you really have to exhibit, even at your position.
Mm-hmm.
One of the things we remember about you in 2007 was yards after the catch.
Mm-hmm.
You were very good at shaking that first would-be tackler, maybe getting an extra 10, 15 yards. And another guy on this team who reminds me a little bit of you in that way is Aaron Hernandez, who has ridiculous – it's like I call him the Kevin McHale moves because people know it's coming,
right,
and they fall for it every time.
Right.
Do you still have that as part of your repertoire?
Yeah, I think so. You know, and that's something I've always taken pride in ever since I was liking Pop Warner. You know, it's interesting because people always, you know, talk about the speed. They always talk about the 419 speed. And,
you talk about
at
the 419
speed. At least you do.
Pretty sure that's not what it said on Wikipedia.
That's hilarious.
You might want to go update that.
I know, right?
Exactly. I think we should change your number from 19 to 419.
Oh, man. No, but, yeah, that's something that people always talk about is the speed, but you know, one thing that I definitely take pride in is you know, running after the catch, and you know, I love the block. I mean, I just love playing football, and whatever it is, you know, whether if it's blocking or going down the field, short passes, turning them into long gains, whatever I can do to help, that's what I'm here for.
Now, one quick follow up on that: can you teach speed? Like, I know, like you can train to be a better sprinter, mm-hmm. right? So, but yards after the catch, just having that natural elusiveness, is that something that can be taught, or is that just a natural ability?
I don't know if it can be taught, but if this may not make much sense, I don't know if it can be taught, but it definitely can be learned. Because because over the years, there's been things that I'm a thief, so I steal people's, for example, you know, when we're out there running routes. Brandon Lloyd's so smooth, you know, the way he runs, and me, I'm always like thinking speed. But I see that sometimes a lot of times when he runs his routes, he's real smooth. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I have to control my speed, you know, with certain routes and things like that. So I try to take, a lot from everybody's game, but there's a deal that I actually learned from Marshall Faulk. I won't really get in all
the way.
You
don't want to give it away right now.
Exactly. But yeah, I mean, I definitely think it can be learned, because there's, like I said, I always try to learn from other people's games. And mm-hmm. there's a couple things that I've taken from Marshall Faulk, not by any means comparing myself to him at all with his running ability.
He actually ran a 4-1.
Exactly.
Right.
Wow.
But I picked up a little bit from, you know, from guys here and there. So I think it can be learned, but it's taking time. But also, you know, the good Lord has blessed me to be able to, you know, do the things that I do as well. So
it looks to be in a competitive camp at the wide receiver. How are you mentally preparing for that competition?
You know, I think every year it's a competition, and especially for me, the last couple of years, that I've been in the league, I think, you know, with a lot of the, guys that we have here, you know, guys who've had a lot of success over their careers, guys who've been to Pro Bowls and things like that. You know, I really don't look at it as a competition. I just know that being out there, those guys are going to make me better, and we're all going to make each other better. So as long as I'm, you know, taking care of my body and making sure that I'm doing everything that I can, then, you know, I think I'll be okay.
Have you been humbled by the game a little bit? Because you were a first-round pick. You've had big money contracts a couple different times. And then, as you said, the last couple of years, you were kind of one-year deals, fighting for roster spots, jobs, mm-hmm. roles. Has that changed your attitude, humbled you a little bit maybe?
Yeah, I think it's definitely a humbling experience. You know, whether I think it is or not, it definitely has to be a humbling experience. Just for the simple fact, you said, being a first round pick and then, you know, now really fighting for roster jobs. But at the same time, too, it's something, like I said, I love playing football. So if anything, it's just made me that much more hungrier.
Can I ask you a question about you as a person and as it relates to your incident? I read that you decided that your lawyer said that you probably could have fought that and won, and you decided not to settle it out of court in a plea agreement. Talk about that and how that whole incident has changed you as a person, if it has.
Yeah, well, not to get too much into the legal details, but you know, my lawyer, he felt like there was a really good opportunity with you know, all the evidence and everything that happened, to be able to fight it and to be able to win. But I didn't want to drag the family through that at all, and I didn't have any communication with them throughout the process. But one thing that really weighed heavily on my heart was the fact that the family had communicated through their lawyers to my lawyer that they appreciated the way I handled everything from me calling the, you know, the 911 and from there on out. Cause at the time, you know, the media tried to portray me as you know, another spoiled rich athlete gets in trouble and, you know, it doesn't care about anything. And you know, for them not knowing me as a person and just, you know, obviously hearing all the stuff in the media, they didn't buy that at all. They actually looked at everything that happened, and you know, for me that meant a lot, and I didn't want to drag them through any unnecessary pain that they were already dealing with. So yeah, we worked things out, and you know, like I said, it's something that will always remain with me because of the fact that they did lose a family member, but at the same time they were able to see you know, that I wasn't a bad person that the media was trying to portray me as, or that unfortunate situation wasn't you know, who wasn't the person that I was. So yeah, that, you know, I definitely appreciated that from the family.
Well, I bring it up because a lot of people in your position of fame and fortune would have probably fought it, and you decided. So I just wanted to, you know, bring that out and see, you know, what you had to say about that.
You talk about the media portrayal, and you went through an incident like that. Now, when you see other incidents, whether it's, you know, the shooting in Florida or any of the, you know, every night there's something on the news about sometimes celebrities, sometimes not. Do you look at those differently and try to say, well, you know, there's two sides to that story, and
yeah,
I was there, and I know that it's not always how it looks on the 10 o'clock news.
Right, yeah, and, you know, and honestly, it's I've never really been a judgmental person, but it's really made me become a lot less judgmental because of the situation that I was in with, you know, being over the legal limit, and you know, Mr. Reyes losing his life, and I was behind the wheel. You know, people that don't understand, they see it black and white, and you know, obviously I was in the wrong, regardless of you know, the other evidence and, you know, everything else that happened. But yeah, I think you always have to look at it. There's two sides to every story, and like I said, it's really made me become less judgmental, and you know, things aren't always as they seem, but you know, any time there's a situation, it's always unfortunate to see you know, anyone you know, in trouble, or even in the unfortunate event of someone losing their life you know, to someone who could have made a better decision. That's always heartbreaking for me to see.
Well, thank you for talking about that. Some fun stuff now. What's your favorite restaurant over at Patriot Place? I heard you talking up Patriot Place. So, like, where have you been so far? What do you like?
You know what? The only two that I've been, I'm a creature of habit. So, I've the only two I've been to have been Bar Louie with the guys after a workout, and that's more, obviously it's more of like snack food and things like that. But the food is pretty good there. And Davio's.
Oh yeah,
Davio's.
Oh, yeah. Oh yeah, Davio's.
Oh yeah, that place.
Can't go wrong.
Oh yeah, that place is.
And the service
nice.
Is unbelievable.
It is. It is. They were really nice. Yeah. The first time I went, you know, I was I didn't really have any clothes here, so I kind of went in there with you know,
your 4.19 shirt. Exactly.
Right, and you know, and I walked in, and everyone else is, you know, like dressed nice, and I'm like, oh man, I'm like, what am I doing in here? And but no, they took care of me, and you know, they were really nice, and it was good, and I'll definitely be going back throughout the season.
Hey, and you know what? Don't feel bad. Belichick walks into restaurants like that all the time with his hoodie.
And I know that you say you like going to movies.
Yes,
they have that Lux level at the theater where you sit up and you can eat. I tell you, it's worth the extra money.
Oh yeah,
it really is.
It is, and I actually went there a couple weeks ago and saw the movie Think Like a Man. My friend Gabrielle Union is in that movie, and Kevin Hart. Those two are well. Gabby's a good friend of mine. Kevin Hart is I just kind of know him through being around. But you know, that was a hilarious movie, and I'll definitely be going. That'll be my life over the next years. Football. Dinner, movies, football.
If you hang out with Gerard Mayo, he's in movies now.
I've heard.
The Farrelly Brothers are putting in movies.
I've heard.
So, you know, hang out with him, make it
I've
a
heard,
part, you know?
Yeah.
All right.
I've
what
heard.
Else have you been up to? Because I remember the first thing, you're kind of a renaissance man. You like to learn languages and do different things. What this offseason, what was your goal, or what have you been up to this offseason?
Well, you know, I was actually I was taking Spanish lessons, and not just from Rosetta Stone this time. I actually had a real teacher, and I was taking private lessons, and you know, it's like anything else, man. Spanish is hard. If you don't, consistently do it on a consistent basis. And if you're not putting in the time and the extra time, you're going to have trouble. And that was something that I learned right away. And so I kind of had to approach it like it was football, meaning, you know, I had to put in the extra time, the extra hours. Even when my teacher would give me homework, I'd have to go back over it twice, two and three times, you know, kind of like watching film.
Yeah.
And, you know, so but the thing that kind of hampered me was I had to go home to California for like 2 weeks. So that kind of threw my Spanish off. But the good thing is that there's a lot of Spanish speaking people in California. So now anytime I go to a restaurant or a gas station or something like that, I'm speaking Spanish, or at least attempting to speak Spanish to everyone. And
all right, well, go. I mean, we're global. Well, we have Spanish.
Say something
to your Spanish listeners now. Go ahead.
Boy,
we're all over the world. Yeah, we're global.
you just noticed the mustache. Oh, didn't you?
Okay, talk about Tom Brady's funny mustache. On, in
we've got a fat head of Brady on the wall over here, and we've got a fake mustache on. He just noticed it.
Well, the thing I do is and it's funny because I don't get much further than this, but. If I see someone of Spanish descent, I'll ask them, ¿tú hablas español?
And,
and that's, yeah. And so, you know, then we kind of, I don't want to say we start a conversation, but the things that my teacher was teaching me was things that I kind of needed to learn. So it was more of going to the store, buying groceries, buying things, and just speaking to people, asking them where
functional,
you're from.
Yeah, functional
yeah,
stuff.
Exactly. Yeah.
Exactly. Not. She wanted to get out of the classroom type.
You should set him up. We actually have on our website, patriots.com, we have Martin Morales, who covers the team and does things in Spanish.
Yep.
He did a lot with Hernandez last year. And maybe you could do a short interview with him, and he can ask you questions in Spanish.
Okay.
And don't worry, he'll track you down.
Yeah,
okay.
Anytime he finds out a player has any connection to Spanish, anything,
there it is.
He'll find you. So
appreciate
he'll do
the hookup.
When we
Definitely.
Were thinking of going to China to play there, I started popping in CDs to learn Chinese. I said, nah. 2 weeks later, I'm like, I ain't doing this. First of all, like you said, you got to practice it. You, more around here, am I going to do that one?
Because
it's one thing to do it yourself and just kind of repeat it, but then when you're talking to somebody, it just starts flying,
exactly.
and you're like,
whoa.
It's like Adam Sandler. Slow down.
Slow down.
All
exactly.
right, Dante, we know you got other things to do. We really appreciate you coming and spending some time with us.
Thanks for having me on.
All right, Dante Stallworth.
Good luck with that 40, by the way.
Let's take a
break. I'm going to go update that.
We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, better banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call better banking. Sovereign Bank, member FDIC.
The NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships return to Gillette Stadium this Memorial Day weekend. May 26th through the 28th, don't miss your chance to see the nation's best lacrosse at New England's premier sports venue. Tickets for all 3 days start at just $75 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For group rates and other special incentives, please call 508-549-0178 for more information. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Verizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
My seats.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on-site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epoche. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Story Time every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals?
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new vase.
Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member FDIC. Copyright 2010 Bank of America Corporation.
And now, story time. With Fred Kirsch.
Story time with Fred Kirsch.
Well, we were talking about back in the day when the Patriots had more dual practices, and the Giants used to come quite a bit down at Bryant College where the Patriots used to have the training camp. So one day, the Giants were set to arrive, and at Bryant College, there would always be a Dell's truck set up. I love Dell's
frozen lemonade.
It's, it's like a Rhode Island, Southern Mass thing. You can't get it anywhere else. I don't know why. I would always get Dell's, you know, before practice, and one day, I decided, oh, you know what, I'm going to...
It's called slush anywhere else.
No. Dell's is different than slush. So I decide, okay, I'm going to buy all the PFW guys, all my guys Dell. So I go to the Dell's truck and I get a tray of, I think I had like 9 cups of Dell's. Just as I'm walking back, the Giants arrive. So all the Giants are walking up the path, led by their head coach, Jim Fossil. As I'm walking by, I say to Coach, welcome to the Patriots training camp. While you're here, you got to have a Dell's. And I'm holding this tray. She goes, oh, great. And he starts taking them and giving them out to his coaches. So I'm like Kraft when Putin took
the ring.
What do you do? You know, oh, no, those aren't for you. So I let him take them, and I was out all that money. I had to go back and spend another $30.
That was story time with Fred Kirsch.
See what you get for trying to be an ambassador?
That's right.
Keep your head down and your mouth shut like I would have.
I could totally see where he... You know, the miscommunication was, so I just shut my mouth and let him take all my Dells. All right, back here in Web Radio. Where are we?
PFW Progress.
Web Radio at Patriots.com is the email address. 508-298-0398 is the Ace Ticket Hotline. It's a good commercial for Dells. I'm telling you.
The stuff is great, though.
Except
it really
Paul
is.
There's a,
There's
a one socket stand that I always go to. But they close in the winter, which is ridiculous. Dells is good. Ice cream shops close over the winter, too, around here.
They
shouldn't. They shouldn't.
There's not as much demand for it when it's 20
below. Oh, we're
going to
start that? Okay. Anyway, thanks,
Dells. Are you going to be a man to have your Dells in the winter?
I crossed a Dells that I was... Oh, on 152, there was one at like a landscape place.
Yeah.
Had a Dells shop inside.
Oh, landscapers. Yeah, they're out there in the heat.
They always set up at Narragansett Beach. You can always get a Dells at Narragansett.
Anywhere in Rhode Island.
And people...
It's slush.
You know,
such a bitter blob.
People that don't listen to Paul, Dell's is unlike anything you've tasted before. It's
yummy.
Not simply ice.
No,
you know,
slush. It's not like slushy snow.
No,
it's good.
Yeah. They have a patented recipe for the lemon.
Mm-hmm. And they have little bits of lemon in there, too, which make it good.
Which you actually chew on. It's delicious.
It is.
I think they have do they have it in stores in some form?
You used to be able to buy the powdered,
but
I don't know if you can still do it. I think that... It just didn't taste the same, and it was giving their brand a bad name.
Yeah, and I think for a while, I think they tried actual liquid lemonade. in the cartons, I think.
That didn't
And I don't think that worked at all because it's known for slush.
Right.
The slushy consistency.
You just can't do it.
Don't call it slush.
No. It's not slush, but it's...
Yeah, so that was a good... I thought that was nice with Dante Stallworth.
Yeah, very good.
I've always been a fan since the first time around.
Eric's Paris tour guide writes in, he said Stallworth ran a 4.22 in the 2003 Tennessee Pro Day. Couldn't find a 4.19 anywhere, though.
Only in his own mind.
Well, 4.22 is pretty good.
Well, he was laughing with us, though, so he obviously...
Good to have him back and competing for a spot. All these guys who've been in the system before and are somewhat familiar with the playbook with push will push all of the other free agent wide receivers to perform at their highest potential. No more of this take a whole year to learn the playbook while making 15 catches for 276 yards.
I thought it was interesting that he said that Josh is bringing back some of the things that were, you know, his the first time around, and I wonder exactly what that means. I don't know if that's more screen game. I wonder how we'll see those play out on the field, but he definitely made it sound like Josh is putting his own stamp kind of back on the offense.
And Jay writes in, who I guess is a lawyer, says, I went to a conference at the Lowe's in South Beach and met two attorneys who worked in the DA's office at the time of Stallworth's accident. They said that part of the agreement was the stipulated to sealing of the surveillance videotape near Star Island that showed the victim darting across the causeway into the path of Stallworth's Bentley. It is common knowledge among the defense attorneys down there that Stallworth didn't have a chance to avoid him, sober or otherwise. So I didn't ask that question to relieve him of guilt. He admits he's guilty. It was just what kind of person, you know, made that decision. What kind of person is he now because of it?
Right.
That's the only reason I asked, not to, you know, what do you say when you relieve somebody of guilt?
Exonerate.
Yeah.
Thank you. Good, Andy. You're the person that came up with the word before Eric did.
Wasn't that hard a word?
Oh, okay.
It wasn't as hard as Renaissance.
Let's go to the Ace Ticket Hotline. Eldridge in North Carolina has been hanging on for a while. Hey, Eldridge.
Why do I not see a sandwich in front of me?
How you doing?
I'm doing good. I like that Star Wars interview. And you said push. I think he's going to start. If anything, he pushed Branch and Ocho.
You think so?
You think he's going to start?
And why do you think that, Eldridge? Because, you know, I was looking at his stats lately, and they're not that great.
He was released mid-season last year.
Yeah, I think because of familiarity with the system and with Josh and with Tom. He was a whole lot better here.
I think Andy's about to have an eruption. Sorry, Eldridge. Everybody in front of me is eating, and I'm not. Sorry, go ahead. But I think it's a little bit unrealistic to think he's going to be a high-level producer in this offense.
I didn't say by high-level. I said start on the other side.
Well, if you start for the New England Patriots, you should catch about 70 balls for 1,000 yards.
He was... He was a starter.
He passed the ball around to everybody, so he's going to catch those 70 passes.
Would you consider him a starter?
Grump will be the first option. You know that, right?
You considered him a starter the last time he was here? He was
because
he was essentially the third wide receiver in that offense, and he had 50 some catches. You think he'll exceed that, or
he was like Branch last year who had 50 catches?
But I want to know if Eldridge thinks he's going to exceed that number.
Yeah, 50 catches. I mean, Ocho had.
What's that?
How many? Ocho? 15.
How many did Ocho have?
15.
15.
That's why I figure if he don't start, he'd be the third.
Ocho wasn't a starter.
But see, if Welcher do come back, y'all think he's coming back, or you think he's going to sit out the whole season?
I think he'll be back. Yeah.
He has pretty much said it.
Okay, so if he's coming back, yeah, he'd probably be the third. You know, probably him and Lloyd, which I'm not too thrilled about, but... Wait a minute.
You're excited about Stallworth, and you're not excited about Lloyd, who's been far more productive in his best and far more productive of late. Dante Stallworth hasn't had a great year, and his last good year was with the Patriots, basically.
That's why. He had Tom Brady. Okay, now Lloyd.
It was 5 years ago.
Even though he had Cutler before Wichita left, before Cutler left for the Bears, Cutler got a good strong arm, too. And then when Lloyd went to Los Angeles, he had Bradford. You know, so
St. Louis,
brother. He had Bradford, but Stallworth, man, Grossman and whoever,
Flacco.
I just don't know.
Okay,
I just think he had a better season. You know, when he was us the first time around.
All I know is the team that had no receivers cut him in the middle of the year last year, and then re-signed him because of injuries. But I mean, he admits what he is at this point. He's fighting for a roster spot and a job.
Mm-hmm. Right. So, yep. I mean, Eldridge. I hear you. You know, familiarity with the system might be something he can fall back on, but
so does Branch.
So does
Welker,
Gaffney. Right?
No, but I mean, he's literally, even if familiarity wise, he would be behind those guys. Those guys have more familiarity, in longer period of time in the system, more production in the system. So I think he's fighting an uphill battle for a job. I mean, I didn't want to tell him that because, I don't know, it'd be me. He's very nice and everything. But
okay, well, a couple more questions. Have y'all seen Hightower doing minicamp? I see the little thing over here. He's doing pretty good. If he starts, where do you think they'll put him?
Nobody knows that he's doing pretty good because nobody saw him. All we saw was stretching in minicamp. Yeah, we got kicked out literally. The other day, I thought we were going to see like one kickoff drill, and as soon as they were lining up, all right, guys, get out. So all we saw was stretching. We didn't see anything of any note. By design, I'm sure.
Which I don't understand. I mean, if we can watch training camp, why can't we watch a mini camp?
Yes, because this is an, as we've been told before, this is an instructional camp.
Not an evaluation.
Not an evaluational camp.
So, I don't know. Anyway, thanks for the call, Eldridge. All right.
Where's the sandwich?
What happened now? Andy didn't get lunch?
Andy's the lone one.
Andy mad. Andy Hart mad.
I know you don't like me when I'm not angry, but you really won't like me when I'm angry.
So what happened?
David Banner over here.
Somebody effed up.
Was it ordered?
It's on the receipt.
Oh, okay. So they owe us. They better get their butts over here, right?
Bitches and hoes.
What did you got a tuna?
Yeah. They should know. I've ordered the same damn thing every Tuesday for the last.
Yeah, it's right on. You got tuna in a pocket, right, Andy?
Yes. Lettuce and pickles.
And you got your apple juice, so.
Right. They just effed up.
I think your driver ate it.
Bleeping driver.
Right now, there's a guy in security wolfing down a tuna pocket.
Fat bastard.
All right.
I'll just assume he's fat.
By the way, just thrones out there, Dante Stallworth just favorited a thank you that we sent out to him on Twitter.
Oh, nice. Great.
Good man. So he's getting involved in the show.
We won't let him live it down. 419 is his new nickname.
419.
419.
I'm going to say first day of camp. Yeah. There is no way he's running a 419.
He knows that, too.
I think he could learn. But I found it interesting when he was talking about kind of slowing it down a little bit sometimes. And you were right. Hernandez is slow. When he makes those moves, they're not overly fast, but they always work. So Stallworth might want to see some of that because, you know, he does that little cut back to the inside. The guy runs by and he picks up another 10, 12, 15 yards. He might want to study him a little bit with that.
And the thing that gets me is everybody knows it's coming.
Yes.
They've seen enough tape of this guy. They've played against him enough time. They know it's coming. And somebody still falls for it.
Yep. It's because they can't help it. Feel free, guys. I'll just talk for the rest of the show while you guys enjoy your nice lunch. I have nothing to eat, so my mouth is full. Isn't full.
Matt writes in. He's from Atlanta.
You're full of it, though.
He says, "Oh, wise Patriot scholars, I have a question to pose.
I appreciate
with the current stable of wide receivers we have going into minicamp, if Belichick and the rest of the Patriots brain trust wanted to put Wes Welker out in the market as trade bait, what do you feel his value at this point would be in his career? Would a first-round pick be too much as an asking price?
Yeah.
I don't believe a trade can occur because he didn't sign his tender yet. Is that correct?
Yes.
That's correct.
Well, you'd have to – it'd be like, okay, Wes, we got a trade on the on the
sign
table.
He'd
have to sign it just to get traded. So they could do it. Just wondering if you feel such a scenario could play out if the two sides can't get – 3 to 4 year deal done because terms can't be reached. I love Wes as a Patriot, but if he wants more than the Patriots are willing to offer, history has shown that Belichick will part ways with players if deals can't be reached.
Well, what did Samuel just get for the Eagles? He got like a seventh. Was that low?
Yeah, it was a terrible pick. but I don't know. I'm totally lost on values now. I thought you wouldn't get a first for Welker because he's in the Matt Cassel mold. Only much older, but you have to pay him. You have to give him $40 million. So there's a decrease in value because of the money you're going to have to invest in him after trading for him. But then you hear that, is it Umanyora? You know, they think they can get a first and a second for him. Well, you're going to have to sign him, too. So I don't really know where NFL trades are what you can get. It's kind of like the baseball cards. You know, when your mom, this card's worth $35. No, it's worth what you can get somebody to give you for it. And if you go to the card store, they'll give you eight.
And, you know, a lot depends on the person you're doing the deal with. If that team has two first-round picks,
sure. They're
more willing.
Right. And a big need at receiver.
Right.
A team that's desperate or thinks they're a Wes Welker away from being a great offense and going Super Bowl, whatever, is going to give you more than some team looking long-term.
Paul writes in. He says, just one comment. Sign Wes Welker. That's all. Well, one more thing. I'll be in Foxborough next Tuesday, first time in 7 years, and would love to have lunch with you guys.
Fred's face.
My treat, of course. I would love to sit quietly and watch you guys create the show on air. In the past, you guys have had guests hang out and listen to the show live. I was hoping I could take advantage of this one-time opportunity. I'm planning on going to the hall in the morning, then have lunch at CBS afterwards. Well, we'll
presented by Raytheon.
We'll work that out with Kevin and Pepe Le Pen, and we'll see what we can do, Paul.
Freddie.
Yes.
We have a guest. We have another guest in the studio.
I saw that, but I'm taken aback.
This is my cousin, actually, Jessica.
Oh, your cousin.
Yeah.
Hello.
Okay.
Did you see her actually
stop?
In a working capacity?
First cousin?
Yes.
First cousin.
Yeah.
Okay. So no hanky-panky going on.
Stop it.
We know there's no hanky-panky going on, cousin or not.
Well, you know, what do they call them?
Oh, that got a good response out of her.
Yeah. Kissing cousins, they call them,
yes.
You know, when you're like fourth or
no,
fifth
I was
cousin.
Actually, I was walking down here for the show a little before noon, and I'm at the far end of the hallway, and I see Ray Ray from KSP walking somebody in, and I wave to Ray Ray, and as I did,
here
the
I
guest
was.
Turns around, and it was my cousin who's here actually on a... professional capacity.
Yes.
Well,
today.
I guess introduce yourself then.
Hi, my name is Jessica Puglio.
Okay.
Yes, keep going. And what are you doing here?
I'm doing makeup for Craft Productions today.
Oh, cool. Oh, really?
Yes, for wheelchair.
Wheelchair needs
access.
Production?
Yeah, yes.
I mean, makeup?
Yes.
They're doing some sort of shoot in the TV studio today.
Okay.
And she was hired to do this. She's
so
a
that's
professional
what you
makeup
must be
artist.
In, oh, right. Yeah. So you're into this?
Yes.
Nope, they found her in the parking lot and said, can you do makeup?
But do you have your own company? Are you?
Yeah, I work for myself, and I also work for another company as well.
Okay, out of Rhode Island?
Yeah, I've been sent by Joe Rossi and Rebecca Rachel, and then I work for another company doing weddings.
Oh, okay.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, that's pretty cool. How did you get the gig? Did Eric recommend
no,
you?
I had no idea. She
really?
Was, no, I had no,
no
idea.
Didn't know until he waved to her.
Yeah.
No, wow. I got the gig through Rebecca.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
And... how long have you known Eric? No, I'm only kidding.
yeah, let's get some dirt on Eric.
You've got enough of that.
No, before,
you know,
are you a Patriots fan at all? Or?
I can't say I'm much of a football fan.
No.
But,
neither is Eric.
Neither. Right, I was just going
to
say the same thing.
He used to be
right.
Until he worked
until
here
I started working
years.
With these clowns.
So, I mean, so growing up, were you like, you know, always together?
I think
a close-knit
when we were younger,
family?
we were closer, and then I moved away to Arizona for 10 years.
Oh,
and then
wow.
I just moved back.
Okay.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So starting to
so
be
how,
around
how,
a little bit
what's
more.
What's the relation? Mother's side, father's side?
Father.
Our dads are brothers.
Your dads are brothers.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
And they're still brothers?
Yeah, they've maintained that throughout their lives,
that's,
Fred.
That's
yeah.
great. That's great. I like
you're
to see
embarrassing
that.
Yourself.
I like
I'm a guest.
I like to see those relationships work out.
Right.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, no, but it was so weird because as I was waving to them and noticing that she was telling Rachel that her cousin works here.
Yeah, and I look, and there
and
he
just
is.
Just happened to turn around. It was one of those
great.
Odd coincidences.
Well, that's cool.
Mm-hmm.
So,
and so this thing you're working on, it's for ADA or accessible
yes.
at the stadium or something like that.
Yes.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
Yeah.
All right, let's get back to Eric.
That's no. great.
Sure.
That's enough.
She
that's
laughed
enough.
Out loud.
Yes. Yes, I know.
That's kind enough. Of our little joke is when we pick on each other. If we can get somebody outside of the group to laugh, that means we've really achieved something. And that was a home run right there.
Yeah.
A family member.
Right.
Now, so do you like Eric?
Of course. Yes.
We have to say
we
that.
Have quite a bit in common, actually.
Really?
Yeah,
yes.
Well,
you're a
artistic.
Makeup artist. And
she's actually very artistic.
Fancies himself an artist.
Are you pompous?
Eric is. I don't know if you've noticed over the last 39 years, but...
No way.
No, but see, when you're with family, Andy, they keep you grounded. You have to keep it real.
There's
with
nothing
family.
That keeps him grounded.
Because family knows...
He's pompous 24-7, no matter
shut
who he's
up.
Around.
No, no, because when you're with family, they know...
Exactly.
Yeah, they know who you are.
Exactly.
So, yeah. Yeah.
And you're not family, so
you
would
ever,
have no idea.
Did you ever see Eric's stand-up career, or was that in the 10 years you were gone?
I didn't see his stand-up
yeah, that was
career.
One
claims he
was
funny.
Gone.
Well, really?
You know, the manager of the club thought I was too, or else she wouldn't have brought me back for a year.
I didn't even know
defensive.
You did that.
That's why you were
no
gone
else
during your gone period.
Really?
Yeah.
Your gone period.
My
yeah.
gone period.
Why'd you go to Arizona? School?
To be a makeup artist there.
Oh, okay.
Yeah, I was offered a job, and so I took it, and
okay.
it was good.
So we do TV.
Right.
Hard as it is to believe
right.
with their faces.
No, and
they need a lot of makeup.
No, and I agree. I don't have a face for TV. What do I need to do? Because we do it with this
about 75
Comcast
pounds.
Sportsnet New England. It's a
button
you know,
your shirt and cover up the hair.
It's owned by NBC Sports, but
exactly.
it's a local
he's
cable.
Just, he's
station.
Just plowing along and ignoring
listen to me.
All this.
Just shut up. I'm trying to get into her area of expertise.
Do you want to drink, Jess?
So even though it's owned by NBC Sports, it's local cable. They come in here and they don't do anything with makeup.
Really?
What should we do?
Honestly, when I do a male's makeup, I just bring out their eyes a little bit more, brighten it up, take away shine. Shine is the biggest
thing. Yeah, that's the issue I have.
Right. Anything for the bald spot.
There's some powder. Spray powder.
Spray powder?
Yes.
Oh, God.
Yeah.
You would look ridiculous if you started putting like...
What about his chest hair? What would you do with that?
Button up the shirt.
Button up the shirt. Yeah.
No, she would say reveal it.
Oh, God, no.
Yeah,
oh, God, no.
Right.
Oh, geez. No. I'm uncomfortable.
Don't encourage them. Don't encourage them, Jess, please.
All right. Well, thanks for coming by.
Thank you.
I'm sure you have stuff you have to do right now. They didn't bring you here to be on the radio.
I'll stop by and see you.
Okay.
That's good. We have another glimpse into the world of Eric Scalavino. So we didn't even know he had relatives. All right.
He doesn't talk about family much because, you know, we use it against him if we know specific details.
Right. All right, let's take another break. We'll be right back.
What would make your life better? Start with better banking from Sovereign Bank. More than a checking account, Better Banking is a package of financial solutions with preferred rates, debit card cash rewards, and online banking with bill pay, along with the flexible options you need to help make your everyday a little easier to manage. And now Sovereign is part of Santander, one of the strongest, safest, and most successful banks in the world. That's what we call Better Banking. Sovereign Bank. Member FDIC.
The NCAA Men's Lacrosse Championships return to Gillette Stadium this Memorial Day weekend. May 26th through the 28th, don't miss your chance to see the nation's best lacrosse at New England's premier sports venue. Tickets for all 3 days start at just $75 and are on sale now at Ticketmaster.com. For group rates and other special incentives, please call 508-549-0178 for more information. 3 days, three championships, the ultimate lacrosse experience.
Droid. Introducing the Droid Bionic by Motorola. So powerful it can access your home computer remotely and pull out your music, movies, images, and documents at the mind-melting speed of Horizon 4G LTE. The Droid Bionic. It's not only the master of droids, it's the master of machines. Control it, and you control everything.
Get the new Droid Bionic by Motorola and never sync with a cord again. Visit any Verizon store, droiddoes.com, or call 1-800-256-4646. Coverage details at verizonwireless.com/4GLTE.
It's Jim from Ace Ticket. To honor Fenway's 100th birthday, we're having a one-week ticket sale on Red Sox tickets starting at just $19. $19! Ace Ticket has your Boston Celtics playoff tickets on sale right now. Be there as the Celtics chase Banner 18. Treat yourself or someone special and take advantage of our free and easy pickup by the Garden in Fenway Park. Call 1-800-MY-SEATS or visit aceticket.com.
Patriot Place in Foxborough is New England's premier entertainment, dining, and shopping destination. Experience the Hall at Patriot Place, presented by Raytheon, an interactive museum dedicated to the history of New England football. The family will want to check out the latest summer movie at Showcase Cinema Deluxe, or a concert or comedy show at Showcase Live. Shop retailers and the region's only Bass Pro Shops. And of course, there's always dinner and drinks as you dine outdoors and take in the sunset or the view overlooking Gillette Stadium. Experience world-class medical care at Brigham and Women's Mass General Healthcare Center, located on site at Patriot Place. The region's only four-star hotel, the Renaissance Hotel and Spa, offers luxurious accommodations, including the ultimate in pampering at Spa Epochet. Special events are always happening at Patriot Place, from Kids Club Storytime every Tuesday to the area's largest classic car display. Patriot Place is located in Foxborough next to Gillette Stadium, and parking is free. Visit patriot-place.com for complete store and restaurant hours and event listings. Patriot Place. Shop, dine, enjoy.
Transmission?
Root canal.
Central valve?
Towaway zone.
Obedience school. Set. Uh-oh. Oh, dear.
Life is full of unexpected expenses.
Study abroad?
An exterminator?
Sleepaway camp?
Engaged?
He fractured what?
Pay for your mother's flight?
Yeah, why? You got a problem with that?
Yeah, no, that's fine.
Bank of America can help you be ready for them.
Guitar.
Piano.
Tuba lessons.
Twins.
Did what on the new carpet?
Let Bank of America help you build a buffer. Regularly set aside money with automatic transfers from checking to savings. You choose how much money to move and how often.
She made Nationals. Great. Where are Nationals? Oh.
Automatic transfers to savings. One of the many ways Bank of America can help you stay on budget. Learn more at bankofamerica.com/solutions.
Honey, look, I bought a new book.
Laws. Oops. Nice.
Bank of America NA, member of DIC. Copyright 2010, Bank of America Corporation.
Fred's the boss, the chief, the leader of the PFW in Progress clan. And while he often goes on rants about fun facts, Skype, and making $5 the hard way, he sometimes has interesting things to say, or at least when you can hear him.
PFW in Progress.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress. I just got yelled at because I didn't have my mic on.
Why don't you put your mic on?
Welcome to PFW. I had my mic off again.
Again.
Two shows in a row.
Turn your mic on, Fred.
Oh, I should remember to...
As sure as the stars shine above.
And Fred didn't turn on his mic.
All right, welcome to PFW in Progress.
That's the longest you've ever gone.
And now, back to PFW in Progress. That is, if Fred remembers to turn his mic on.
All right, back here in PFW in Progress. Boy, what a lively show. Dante Stallworth, and what's her name? I forget already. Jessica,
yeah.
Eric's cousin, here to do makeup. Cool.
So she's a Scalavine? No?
Who was just being walked around by security 2 seconds ago outside of our door.
Three of the four brothers were adopted.
Oh.
When they came over from Italy. And her dad decided to keep the adopted name. My dad wanted to go back to his original name. So we have different last names, but we're...
Scalavino.
I'm giving Fred
wait
the glare
a minute.
Right now.
Say that one more time.
My dad and two of his three brothers came to America, were adopted. And
they're young.
They got adopted. Yeah, they were...
But not by the Scalavinos. They were Scalavinos.
No. They were Scalavino to begin with.
Okay,
and then they came here, and the family that adopted them, my dad's brothers were so much younger at the time. They were like only 5 or 6 years old. So the family that adopted them wanted to fully bring them into their family, so they changed their names. And then my dad came over, was a little bit older, and took the name originally because that was part of the adoption process. But when he turned 18,
he went back.
He wanted to go back to, because... I mean, that's 13 years of his
name.
Life, that was what he knew,
yeah,
and that's
sure.
what he...
And he knew
plus
it.
That's, yeah,
he
and
knew
he knew it.
It
and lived with it and right. wanted to reclaim it. So when he legally could, he went back to it.
Okay. Boy, I tell you learn more and more. The depths of Eric Scalavino.
Snippets, little snippets.
Yep. Eventually we'll find out who you are.
I don't really care.
We've had a lot... I mean, there's been a lot of players in the media relations department that the Patriots have done a great job in making them available.
Aaron Salkin in particular.
Right.
Yep.
Dante coming here. But also on Patriots.com, we have just a slew of interviews that we've done over the last week or so. Walter in Cambridge writes in. He says, during the Matt Patricia interview, there was a quick exchange between Andy and Matt. Matt said that they used to talk all the time the first year he was with the team. Andy, can you elaborate on those daily exchanges? What did you do to scare him away?
I don't know if I should elaborate because – the little dark secret is I've actually been coordinating the defense for the last 3 or 4 years. I talk every day, and I tell them.
Hence why they were
last.
That's why
it's so bad.
Right.
No, we like to be totally honest here. Matt really made that sound like more than I think it is. We used to talk a little bit, not like every day, not like football, just in passing and chatting. So while I appreciate it makes it sound like I have a more input with him than I do, I just have a good relationship with him. I think he's a nice guy, and we've kind of
we've interviewed him several times for features or for pulse. You know,
but it's
stories,
not like I'm hanging out in his office and hey, Bill, I'll be done in a minute. You can come in. You can have Matt in a minute. I just got one more thing. It's not really
right.
Okay. I think some in the media would probably try to make it seem like more than it was. I just want to be honest. It's not more than it was.
Okay. Kamani writes in. He wants
to
know if we can post Eric's cousin.
Not.
On the recap page on Patriots.com. Did you take a picture of Eric's cousin?
Picture is up on Twitter, at Patriots.com.
Probably could have checked with her if she was okay.
But the thing about Kamani is he put the name cousin in quotes, so I don't know what he means by that.
Kamani is a psychopath. You don't need to read that fool's emails.
And we don't need the cousin part in quotes, as I said, which drew quite a laugh from the cousin. Cousin or not, nothing's going on.
And then Kyle writes in, oh, Eric, so sad. Also, where's Paul? He's missing a great show. Well, that's why it's a great show. We're
exactly.
missing Paul.
He didn't drag down the
Paul
interview.
Paul doesn't like the interviews.
No,
he's against
not.
The interviews.
He is anti-player quotes, anti-player interviews.
He doesn't think they add much. I think.
Well, he thinks
again,
his opinion is more important than the players. That's the problem.
No, well, but his experience with interviews is the cluster F that goes on in the
right.
locker room, and those aren't good interviews.
No. I think all of our interviews have been pretty good balance of some football, some, you know,
personal,
getting it versus
some, yeah.
having a little fun and trying to get to know the guy a little bit or
right.
touching on major topics. And I think that,
in a controlled setting.
We did all that today,
right.
that's for sure.
Yeah.
And mocking him,
you know,
when claiming
when,
to run a 4-1.
And let's be honest, the interviews with the players take away from Paul's time talking on the
right.
radio.
I mean, that's the problem with it.
I really wish, like, and you, I guess you get a sense of it if you watch ESPN a lot, but, you know, what goes on in the locker room during these media sessions, it's just ridiculous. I mean, right. half the people there are just, I don't know why they're there. And so one guy.
The media, you mean?
Yeah, media. And one guy decides to talk, and it's just like this rush of humanity over to his locker. You know, you're six deep with people, you know, scrambling, and the guy is just like pinned in, and it's just not a good way to like be comfortable.
Right. Well, no one's comfortable. The
yeah.
players aren't comfortable. The media's not comfortable. Part of that is the environment here and the rules and the iron fist with which Belichick rules over any media and all that stuff. Because I think in some other places, it's far more relaxed. I know
yeah.
talking to Bert Breer about Dallas, you go wherever you want, you're walking down the coach's hallway, you grab an assistant coach, you know, it's
right.
just a totally
but,
different
but
environment.
If I'm a player and I'm sitting in a setting like we have here and I'm answering questions, I'm looking at the people asking them, and I kind of know, I don't know them personally, but I know
of them.
If something is gets written from this, I know who it is.
Right.
But when you're in that big group of people, you don't know who's listening, and you don't know what they're going to do with the words you just said
right.
and how you're going to use them.
Yeah, unless you're,
and so you're
paying
immediately
attention
on
to everything.
The defensive.
Right.
You're immediately on the defensive.
And they're on the defensive because I think they're told when the media is
oh, yeah.
be
right.
on defensive.
Right.
Don't say anything. You don't talk about other players. You don't talk about injuries. You don't talk about contracts.
Right.
right.
So you immediately your head is like, is that rule one,
right.
two,
yeah.
three? No, I guess I'm not breaking those. I guess I can answer this with a cliche.
Right. Brooklyn Matt writes up. He says, what's up, tards? That's not nice.
That is in no way
yeah.
acceptable.
That's not nice.
It's our tar.
I see it's the three stooges today who've lost the fat man and are running lean.
No.
Anyway, I've been in New England for the last 2 weeks.
Picked up a fat man, Matt's in.
Right.
I've been in New England for the last 2 weeks due to a loss in the family and missed the last four shows. It's good to be back in Brooklyn and listening to you guys live. I feel whole again. Now, hey, Andy, what's this? You don't have your sandwich in front of you like everyone else? Tell you what. I'll send up a Brooklyn Matt sandwich special to tide you over. It has horseradish and red hot peppers, generously soaked in Tabasco sauce, and served on moldy pumpernickel. Bon appetit, Einstein.
You're a mean one. You're a douchebag. Mr. Brooklyn.
Wow. He just doesn't like you.
No, he likes to pick. Every once in a while on the blog, he'll, no, really, guy, I appreciate what you guys do, and you do a great job.
So he was in New England for 2 weeks and didn't, you know.
Now, is this...
Well, he said it was for the loss of a family member. Could have been.
Wasn't his grandmother in this area and she was sick? And
I thought so, yeah.
Oh, sorry for that loss.
But you could have stopped by.
Yeah.
Shown your face, you know.
Of course, you don't have to.
Matt
in
Denmark writes in.
You know, honoring your grandmother.
For some reason, I really like that the Patriots drafted Alphonso Dinard. I've read as much about him as I could find and watched whatever video to be found on YouTube, and I really think... He looks like a very good player. Only issue, yeah, you know, it's never a good thing to be in a fight with a cop. But I think that for him going to New England and hopefully learn to do things the Patriots way might just make him a very valuable pick and make him get control of what he's doing off the field. What do you guys think the chances are for him not only to become a starter but actually become an impact player? Great show. Love listening to the podcast 2 times a week.
Little breaking news here, Freddie.
Okay.
Related to what we started the show off with. Greg Bedard, our friend from the Globe, is reporting that Wes Welker has signed his franchise tender.
Okay.
So 3 days
so
from now,
so he could
deal.
Be in OT. Yeah.
So now he has to be at the minicamp in June. That's mandatory.
Well, theoretically.
Yeah.
You can hold out. Then it becomes a hold.
But now you get fined.
Right.
Right. Otherwise, if he hadn't signed the air conditioner just went off.
Yeah.
Here, so I realized I was yelling.
Quiet.
awkward. If he hadn't signed the tender, he would not be obligated to go.
Wouldn't be allowed to go.
Right. Now he has to
go. But now he could be here as soon as today. Or
right.
He may have signed it and is working out with Dante Stallworth.
Okay. Well, that's, you know what? Okay. So now.
Now, next week or sometime, I think there's going to be a deal.
Good.
I'm happy.
All right.
For Wes. I want him to get some money.
That's big news.
And even if there isn't, you know you have him for at least one more season.
Unless he holds out. Because he could hold out, but he'll hold out. 9.5 million reasons not to.
He'll hold out until September, whatever.
My guess is I'm right. I think there's a chance they get a long deal. It's July 15th they have to do it by, I believe, for a long-term deal to be done.
That sounds right.
If I'm a Patriots fan, I'd be feeling pretty good that that could get done. Because it's not a huge deal. We're only talking, you know, I think he's come to reality and said, I'm not getting 55, 85, 125.
But he's still going to do pretty well for himself.
No, he's going to get 8, 9 million a year for 3 or 4 years. He's going to get far more than he made the last contract in this one. You put those two together, I'm sure he's a relatively smart guy. Although he is a little bit into the horses and that stuff, and that's a good way to lose money.
Right.
But he's going to be okay. Is it true the Derby winner was like some cheap-ass horse?
Oh,
it certainly wasn't one of the favorites.
I'll have another.
And it was bought for like 30 grand or something, a few, or 100 grand. You know, usually these are like million, you know, these studs get $1 million just to impregnate a
My favorite part of the Derby.
What is it?
My favorite part of the Derby is when, you know, they show the owners of the favorite horses, you know, the real entitled ones, and they lose. I like that.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
I don't like the whole horse racing thing. I don't like the hats. I don't like the pomp and
it's silly.
It's just nauseating. Yeah. The whole thing.
Leave the horses alone. Yeah, that's my thing too. Leave them alone.
Well, yeah. Plus, they're
don't race
them
the
with
dogs.
Steroids,
don't race the horses.
But I will say that those horses were born to run, and they get treated like. I mean, people don't get treated as nicely as those horses.
I just don't like when they have
that's
one.
That's not a good argument that they were born to run.
They were. The thoroughbreds. You know, they were born to run. You know,
they were
freely,
born to run freely.
Freely, yes.
They were not born to run around a track while some guy whips him with a stick and injects steroids in his ass.
Right.
Fred's next business venture, he's skipping over alpacas, going right to racing horses.
Right. Believe me, if I can't afford alpacas, I can't afford these guys.
That born to run argument's a little. That could get into a bad.
Well, but what I'm saying is you're not making them do something that's not natural to them. You know?
Yeah, I don't think it's
like
natural.
I'm not sure oxen were born to like plow fields.
Were you know the veal, those were born to
right.
be eaten.
Veal calves.
They were born to be eaten in a box.
Well, I know. It's
so
survival of the fittest.
It's not fair to say something is born into something.
I can't eat veal anymore.
Because of that?
Yeah.
I heard that they don't do the stuff that they used to do.
Well, I can't take that for granted, so I don't think I've ever had
veal.
And it's delicious.
I love
it really
a good veal parm.
The veal is
God.
Great.
I've never had it.
But what? Oh, you'd love it.
Brooklyn
if you had
Matt,
it,
Andy's never had veal parm.
I always thought it, I don't know.
It's really good, but when I found out how they made veal and what they did to the
poor
thing.
Yeah, but what about chicken? I mean, all these animals that we, but cows, you can get
free range chickens. You can get grass fed cows.
That's a lot of malarkey, all that nonsense.
It's more humane. I'm sorry.
It's less than what the other thing is, but it's the same thing. We're you know, bringing these animals up for the sole purpose of eating them and then slaughtering them.
I know, but you can still do that
necessarily in that order.
You can still do that humanely. I mean,
eating them and then
slaughtering
them.
Like there are people who like, you know, foie gras, but they
okay.
raise the like
what?
That's a duck liver or something.
Yeah, it's
foie gras,
duck or goose. Yeah, they raise them to have fat livers so that they can
doesn't know anything. It's an Neanderthal.
You know, it's a delicacy. But they raise the animals humanely. They don't keep them caged up and chained and all that.
I mean, the horses get treated well.
They do get treated well, but
they get whipped.
But also, if they get one little injury,
they shoot them.
Right, and that's ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's absolutely ridiculous.
The good ones do get treated
well. A horse without a leg, they can't survive. It's bad. It's you know.
Three-legged horses.
Seabiscuit got hurt, and they decided not to shoot Seabiscuit.
I mean, I don't know the severity of Seabiscuit's injury, so.
You didn't see the movie?
I did see the movie. I read the book, as a matter of fact.
He wasn't on the injury report?
I even read the book.
Leg question.
Okay. That's good discussion. Michelle Stockholm writes in.
Hey girl.
She says she's changing her last name, by the way.
To Michelle Stockholm?
She's lunch on Thursday, by the way.
We're going to eat
Michelle
Stockholm on Thursday?
Is it a box lunch?
Oh, I won't be able to take part.
See, now why do you have to go there?
He said,
I
she's
know.
Lunch on
Everybody
Thursday.
Everybody got the, oh, man.
Yeah, we got it.
I'd like to eat her lunch.
Oh, see, now,
Anyway,
toss her salad.
You'll have to get another one when I get back from France, Michelle, because I won't be able to take part Thursday. Sorry.
Well, you could probably just zip on up and have lunch. So,
the pomposity of this guy.
You want
to
eat my
salad? Because he's not going to be here. He wants to buy
right.
two lunches.
Right.
Why don't
you zip
salad?
Up and see her? Take a train ride up to Stockholm.
Maybe I will. We'll see.
Maybe she's the woman with the dragon tattoo.
She was cute in her photo. She's
yeah.
cutie.
Sure is.
She's in the TV business.
Mm-hmm.
So you guys have some common media.
Well, she's got
knowledge.
An email, right?
Well, speaking of that,
yes, she
writes
email.
In
That's
first thing.
PFW TV going international.
Yes, we could. She does react. She did Survivor. Did you read that? She did
yes.
Survivor.
I think Fred's well, about to read it.
Read
I think
the...
Fred's about to read it oh. now.
See,
you pre-read these
you're
things.
You're going to regret putting these emails in my inbox. Used to be better when I didn't know.
First thing, I don't work with porn, she says. Somehow I have a hard time seeing the casting process in that. I cast reality. I just finished up Swedish Survivor.
What's realer than porn?
Swedish Survivor, realer. A monster project, but nonetheless fun. I have done drama casting as well, and I'd love to put you in a movie, anything but
nice.
Bergman. Currently, I'm casting a dating
Sounds
show.
Like a
Eric, you're welcome to apply. Swedish girls are crazy about American men, and that's a fact.
Ooh.
You've not met Eric.
Swedish girls.
There's no girls crazy about Eric.
He's such an ass.
So we should go to Stockholm and have our own TV show.
Sure. We could do the show.
Fred, they like American men.
Dante had terror. purely guessing, but I'd say Gronk is getting somewhere around 250 to 300 for his one-day appearance.
That's 1,000, right? Not dollars.
Yeah, I don't think he's getting that much, though.
Really?
No.
Why?
Not for a one-day appearance? I don't think so. I mean,
there's 20 people, so that would be 20 times 300,000 would be 60 million, 6 million, which how many zeros do I have?
Anyway, and while on the subject of Gronk, I have no problem with him doing going on a dating show whatsoever. He's a 22-year-old kid having fun. It's hard enough being 22 when having your every move scrutinized is even harder. Until he does something that affects his playing ability, leave Gronk alone. And just like you said, his numbers are bound to go down this season. As a fan, I don't care how we win. As long as we win, football is either a team sport or it isn't. You can't have it both ways. Thanks for an awesome show. It's easy being a Patriots fan with you guys.
Nice.
So,
why does everybody say it's hard to be 22?
And having it's hard to be. Oh, that's a good point. It's not that hard, really.
He talked himself out
unless
of it.
Unless you have a lot
words.
Of school loans and you're riddled with debt.
Right.
You know.
As I am, it's not that hard.
It
is. Work.
Yeah, you work.
You work.
Yeah.
It's not like you're digging ditches, though, either. I mean, you're making ends meet, right? Kind of. Close.
Is that
why you stole my lunch?
I didn't steal your lunch. I'm not that hungry.
Craig in Ottawa.
I am.
Andy's losing steam.
I got to eat a cookie.
Craig in Ottawa says, I just wanted to say I absolutely love these player interviews. Keep it up, and Eric is a douche. Eric LaDouche.
You want to eat my salad?
Nope. No one does.
So I think we'll, in light of the Welker signing, we'll not read all the Welker trade emails.
Wait, whoa.
Well, why not?
That is a precursor
to
a trade.
I know, but let's give him a chance to breathe first and see if he can sign this thing, get a long-term deal done. I know what you're saying.
What if they announce later today Wes Welker has been traded to the X? Because that's how it would work.
It would.
He would sign it and be traded.
I don't think – have we announced it? Did the Patriots announce the signing?
This is a Greg Bedard report from the Boston Globe.
And they wouldn't announce it. They would announce Wes Welker has been traded to the X for an undisclosed draft.
Well, that's what
I'm
saying. If we announce the franchise signing, I doubt we're going to trade him. It would be more like it happened and then we traded him.
Right.
I don't think we'd make a deal about him signing.
But we haven't made a deal.
Alex in Falmouth says, if things slow down and you're hunting around for something football-related to talk about, I wonder if you could spend a few minutes explaining the difference between sub and base defensive packages. Frankly, there are quite a few names, terms, and phrases. Some of us who didn't study the game very seriously don't comprehend, and PFW in Progress might be a good place for us to pick up that kind of knowledge, if you don't mind talking about football. Awesome to have you guys speaking with players on the show. Nice addition, especially as your interviews are usually different and a lot better than most. Keep it up. Thank you, Alex. All right, give Alex a quick 101 on the difference between base and sub package when it comes to defense.
Base would be like 3-4, 4-3, whichever one you line up in. normally.
Yeah, but see,
three down linemen.
You can't start a 101 discussion using terminology that adds to the confusion. If he doesn't know base, he probably doesn't know 3-4-4-3.
Okay, 3-4 and 4-3 refer to the number of defensive linemen. That's the first number, and linebackers, the second number. So if you're in a 3-4, you have 3 defensive linemen, 4 linebackers. And that gives you 4 defensive backs to work with. Typical.
What about a 3-3-5?
Base defense. 3-3-5 is different. 3 down linemen, 3 linebackers.
About a wide tackle 9.
Sub packages are when you take one of those front 7 players out and add a defensive back or 2.
3-3-5 only has 6 in the front.
Right.
It's another way of saying sub package.
Substitution.
That's where it comes from. You sub in your players.
It's a substitution package, and the reason you do is usually in the NFL to match up with a team that is in a passing mode.
But a lot of this is all archaic thought process.
Right.
That's the whole thing Bill's talking about.
Because nowadays, your sub package is now your base defense because so many teams have 3-4 wide receiver offenses. You have to start the game that way.
You know, in the NFL, you know, as it evolved, usually the first thing you did as a defense is stop the run. You stop the run. So you have personnel out there that their main thing is to stop the run. If a team threw on first down, you know, teams didn't normally do that. They normally, you know, ran
just try
first,
to run pass.
You know, but when they put more wide receivers out there, sometimes you have to match up with them, and that's when you would substitute a slower linebacker maybe for, you know, a faster safety or a slower defensive end for, you know. So that's where the whole sub package comes from.
Yes. Generally, though, in a sub package is a nickel, which means you have 5 defensive backs, or a dime package, which means you have 6 and or more.
But why does a nickel go from 5 to a dime, which is 10, go to 6?
Because there's no currency for 6 cents.
6 pence, none that
it's right. Your 6 pence package.
But as Bill Belichick will point out, even when you're talking about 3-4-4-3, that means less than what technique you use.
Yeah, well, sometimes when he's talking about that, he's being obstinate.
Oh, okay.
He is.
I know.
Okay, just want to make sure.
But, you know, a lot of times they're not in strictly that formation. You know, no. There's 2 guys in the line, and guys are all over the place. And
that's the modern NFL.
The technique, though, does come into play when people ask us, you know, what's the difference between our 3-4 and Pittsburgh's 3-4?
Right.
Some other teams. Well, but, yeah, the technique does come into play because there's gapping. 1 gap or 2 gap, that makes a difference. They teach here predominantly 2 gap.
Eric would be happy with 1 gap.
Yeah, I'd take 1 any day. But that is a difference in technique because that's reading and reacting to what the offense is doing in 2 gap. So you're responsible for whichever side the play goes to.
Right.
And in 1 gap, you're just charged with getting into that gap and trying to disrupt what's going on in the
shooting the gap.
Shooting
again,
the gap.
Again, what Eric would like to do.
Yeah.
Darren Ravel writes that Wes Welker will get paid $139,706 per quarter this season. Not bad work if you can get it, right?
Sure.
So,
well, unless you know that, you know, Tom Brady's making, you know, there's a lot of receivers making more than that per quarter this year.
Alexander writes in, I had a dream that I made fun of Eric for being a virgin, and he started laughing, and then he started to cry. Then you guys made me apologize to him because you said he had a fragile ego. Anyway, if you guys would stay out of my dreams, I'd appreciate it. I just returned from Paris last week and thought I'd share some advice. If you're looking to get some, then the best place would be the Montmartre neighborhood.
Montmartre. Where Picasso used to work.
It's a bit shady, but I do think that would be your best bet. Good luck and Godspeed, Eric. Charlie,
it's shady, and it's his best bet.
It's an artistic quarter. No, it's an artistic quarter, like the Marais.
You have to cut your ear off?
No, that was Van Gogh.
And then he sends a video of Kate Upton dancing.
Nice. I think that's one Paul and I saw the other day.
I didn't see it.
We don't have time for that right now.
I always have time for that. I'm passionate about breasts.
Dante's now following
us. You don't like her, though, Kate Upton.
She's overrated.
Really?
But she has nice breasts.
Oh, I think
tremendously
nice
breasts.
I think she'd be a load of fun.
Oh, I do, too. But she's overrated.
Why?
You can be good, great, whatever,
a load
and still be overrated.
Fun.
I think she's a little tubby at times. I don't think she's
what?
Beautiful, first of all. And through her hip belly region
oh, man,
is a little
you are,
weird.
Oh, my God.
She does have a little bit of a young girlish hip area.
Yeah, it's
well,
a little
she's
weird.
What, 19?
Right.
She's still.
I'm not
developing.
Saying I wouldn't. I clearly would, and she has phenomenal breasts, which, as you know, is most important to me.
Right.
I hadn't known that. I hadn't heard that before.
That's why he does so much bench. He's just trying to create his own breasts. So he can
I pulled
play with
my
himself.
Pec the other day.
You pulled your pec.
Peter Piper picked a pec up.
No, seriously, I was doing incline, and it's.
You weren't trying to do that thing.
I was on the Smith machine, just doing regular incline.
And you pulled it?
I got a little something, a little twinge.
Oh, boy.
A little something going on there, my pec.
Oh.
Eric pulls his pec every night.
See now.
He does push-ups. What do you mean? Yeah. That's what he does. He's a body weightlifter.
I do.
A body weightlifter.
Yeah. You use your body weight.
A gymnast.
Well, whatever.
I don't do the muscle-ups, but you put crunches, pull-ups, chin-ups.
You know, the Herschel Walker workout. You know, he doesn't do
Exactly. The guys do that in prison because they don't have weights, but...
Eric does a lot of things they do in prison.
Oh.
No, I don't, actually.
If we run out of emails, by the way, I have something I want to talk about. Prison, 300, that whole.
No, we have emails.
Really?
We have emails. We don't need to get into that today. Jeevan in Vancouver writes in, I've got 9.5 million more reasons why the Patriots will be in the Super Bowl. Our offensive weapons are going to be ridiculous. If you could only have one running back, who would it be, Vereen or Ridley? Who has the better upside or higher ceiling? What do you think?
That's a good question.
I just haven't seen enough from Vereen.
Yeah.
No, we haven't.
I'd like to see him first before I make
I think
decision.
If somebody held a gun, I'd say Ridley right now because he's just a little bigger, maybe a little bit more durable.
And he's theoretically a starting running back, a feature back, whereas Vereen, I'm not sure he is.
Right.
He's kind of a tweener, but they drafted Vereen higher, so they valued him higher. Maybe they thought he was going to be with Benny, though, so I don't know.
Quick update. Wes Welker now has confirmed, I signed my tender today. Love the game. Love my teammates. Hopefully doing the right thing. Gets the right results. That's via his Twitter
account. See, there's still
via his Twitter account.
Yeah.
Still a method to
his
madness.
He's making the first move, which...
I'm telling you. There will be a deal done soon, before minicamp.
I guess, though, he played his hand yesterday. If you just come right out and say, there's no way I'm not reporting, you might as well just sign it, right?
And that's... He's been the good soldier all along.
Yeah.
And then the one time when he's not with, I believe, Adam Jones on ESPNBoston.com radio and said, you know, I might not be at minicamp. Everybody got all pissy with him. Willie McGinnis, stop being such a diva.
Right.
What diva? I've said all along, I want to play for the team. When the franchise tag came out, I'm happy I'll be a Patriot in 20. He played, and it's gotten him nowhere. We've heard a lot of reports that there have been minimal to no negotiation. Well, he's been the good guy. I think he deserves to be paid. What do you got? You got Kate Upton bouncing? No.
Let's see. Also, Jeevan writes in, I hate the Adai signing. He brings nothing to the team. I would rather have Grant or Hightower over Adai. But then again, he played with Manning, so he should fit right in. Right, Fred?
How do you know he brings nothing to the team?
Yeah.
You haven't seen him in pads here
These
yet.
People don't know what they're talking about. ESPN Boston did a piece on if Brady could play until 45, do you guys really think it's possible? I don't. 39-40 max. Look, if he can play to 39-40, I think that's unbelievable.
Yeah, I just can't see it.
One thing that Brady says is that, you know, I want to play until they tell me I can't anymore. Is he the type of guy that can tell himself he can't play anymore?
No.
Or is he one of those guys that will keep going beyond the point where, you know, where he has diminished skills?
Somebody else will have to tell him. The great ones have to be told. The great ones go somewhere else. They have to be told you're not good enough anymore.
Okay.
All the great ones.
I'm holding out hope that, despite what he's been saying, that he'll be different and that he'll realize that when it's time, it's time. I hope he doesn't have one of these Brett Favre-like exits where he's bouncing around, struggling to try to make some
team. Most of them don't bounce around. It takes one more stop, and they realize, I'm done.
Joe Namath
Los Angeles Rams.
It's probably 99-1. The great ones end up somewhere else for a short period, and then it's over.
But like a guy like the running back for the Cowboys who went to the Cardinals.
Emmitt Smith.
I don't know his financial...
All-time leading rusher in the NFL. You might have heard of him.
I don't know his financial situation, but, you know, the lure of that one more contract is a big factor. Let's face it. You know, you're used to being paid a certain amount every year, and then you look at it and go, wow, this could be my last year getting paid if I don't move to another team. I think in Brady's case, he may not have to worry about that. So that might not...
Not at all.
You don't think so?
No, I mean, he wouldn't have to worry about
that.
He's
got a wife who makes twice as much every year.
Well, just on his own, he's made more money than he'll ever need. Oh, and then he's got his wife,
so
too.
I'm just wondering if that could, you know, add to his decision not to do that bounce around thing, because he just doesn't need the money.
No, I hope
but
so.
But it's not about that. It's about the game, the competitive fire, the belief you're still the greatest.
Well, that also, I mean, you joked with Dante about, you know, Brady's not here, take the keys to his place. At some point, that's got to catch up to him from a physical perspective. There's going to come a time where he can't take a whole offseason basically off and then show up and expect that he's going to be able to perform the way he has.
He's training.
Yeah, I know he's training, but I mean...
And if you listen to the Welker interview yesterday, he actually mocked Brady for being... He said, quote, everything he does is about being the best football player. His travel schedule, the way he eats, the way he drinks, what he puts in his body, everything is tailored to be best he can be.
Yeah, I saw that. I thought that was interesting, but...
I didn't know what it meant. I mean, I actually would like how is a certain time to fly to Costa Rica and go surfing with your wife?
No, but maybe
better
like
than the other.
But
or,
maybe
or
like he has a training regimen, and that has to be worked into all his travel. I mean, it's easy for us to say, "Oh, he's not here. He's not working out." He could be doing more, a different way with different people than he does here.
Well, I've never criticized the fact that he's not working out.
I'm not talking about the workout.
It's more important for him to work out here.
Well,
here with
you
want to
work with the
guys. People. Yes.
I want him rubbing elbows with everybody all the time.
And I get that.
Running
past
one of the guys.
I get that.
I know he's in shape. Yeah. That's not what I was talking about. What Andy just said about being there with your teammates and going, you know, the timing and stuff of the passing offense, that you can't get that when you're not together.
Right. Andre from Panama City in Panama. Says,
by the way, I just watched that video. That is the definition of fun bags.
Oh, yeah.
Fun bags.
Is that the one where she's doing that cat dance or whatever?
I don't know. Yeah. She was, and then in the end, she grabs them. And,
yeah, with the bikini that looks like it's struggling to.
Oh, it was struggling.
Yeah.
I'd be happy to help out.
Oh, there's Andy Sandwich. Wow, just in time. With 20 minutes to spare.
It'd be hilarious if it is the wrong one.
Now, you're going to see this thing eaten so fast.
I know.
No, you're not, because I'm going to try to participate
in the
show.
No, we should
put
a clock on this, Matt. No. Put a clock on this.
We're not timing me eating.
Come on, let's go. How fast can you eat a tuna pocket?
I'm going to try to take part in the show as well. So read emails, and I'll continue to take part.
That's a big pocket, too.
Andy Hart, hungry.
he just bit off half of it.
I have the stopwatch going.
Thank God. No pickles. Uh-oh.
Andy Hart mad again.
Anyway, Andre from Panama City says, hey, guys, and Eric, I was wondering how come Brady appears on the Rich Eisen podcast last year and not on PFW. Good question. If he did, my bad, never mind, I missed the show. Remember, I'm that guy who found out about PFW the last playoffs. I think I could be the best Latin Patriot fan in the world. There's only one way to do that, Andre, and you know how it is.
Buy us lunch.
That's right. Also, I was reading on Patriots.com the article of Make Your Case. I have to agree with Andy. I don't see how Stallworth, Gonzalez, or a seventh-round pick can beat Ocho. Well, we'll see. I mean, this might be a good time to read that Ocho letter, since Andy is like...
Yeah, the open letter to his dad.
Yeah, so can you,
quote unquote,
can you email it to webradio@patriots.com? Pepe, can you do that? Okay, you can talk. You're. It's
I still like
talk.
Flash better.
You know, you like
it's on,
Flash.
It's on its way. Don't worry.
Okay. David from Maine says, "Hey guys, just a little more info on the sub package. I learned that the nickel corner is called nickel because he is the fifth corner. Therefore, the sixth cornerback is the dime second nickel. That makes sense. The second nickel guy makes it a dime. Two nickels is a dime.
What if it's not a corner?"
All right, second guy doing whatever. He's the second guy in the nickel. Now you got a dime. Okay.
Okay.
All right, that's okay.
But why would seven also be a dime?
I
got a whole mouthful.
Scott says, I have a girl that I'd like to have Eric take to Paris. She would not cost you anything, and she's never been to Europe. She would not take up much space, and she's not much of a talker, which is perfect for you.
Yeah.
Picture
she's
her gonna, below.
Yeah.
She's got to blow her up.
It's a blow up doll.
Right,
yeah.
Right, yeah. Oh, boy. That's so unique and original.
So, have you ever used a blow up doll, Eric?
God, no.
No.
Oh, that sounds so disgusting.
Does it? Okay. I haven't either, by the way.
Do people really use those?
Well, they must.
Oh, yeah, they're big sellers.
I assume they were just like, you know, bachelor party joke gift things.
I don't know. There's some weird guys out there. Let me tell you. Weird people.
I mean,
the things that go on in bedrooms, you'd be surprised. I mean, probably one of us, there's Pepe's here, Eric, me, Andy, Kevin. Odds are that one of us is pretty funky. Pretty freaky. You know, just the law of averages in the United States. It could be. It's not. But, the law of averages.
I've never been to a key party. You have.
No, I haven't.
A what?
I knew about it, but I've never been to one. The law of averages says one out of every five people is pretty freaky.
It's one of those things like pornography. You know it when you see it or hear it.
What makes you freaky?
A key party? Is that what you said?
Yeah, I think
everybody puts their keys in a bowl.
You know,
and then
bondage.
You pick them and you go home with that wife or whatever.
Oh.
Swingers.
Really? You've been to one of those?
No, I haven't. Oh. I just told him what it was.
Oh.
That kind of puts Fred in the lead there because he knew what it was and none of us knew.
Right.
Oh. Pepe, you're young. You'll find these things out. So this is the letter that Chad Ochocinco wrote to Roger Goodell, and he has a very good relationship with Roger Goodell. Calls him Dad. So here's the letter. Dear Dad, I know it's been a rough week, so I wanted to reach out. Players dying, players suing, and on top of that, my peers are just going off on you in the media. It does not help that ESPN has all of a sudden become medical TV with damn near every brain expert on the planet. This has got to be the worst week ever. Since no one is showing any support, I figured I would be the first. You are in one big-ass catch-22, and quite frankly, I am not sure there is any solution. One thing I think can help is killing the NFL PR machine. You all do a darn near perfect job at portraying this game as one only played by heroes. But let's be real, Dad. This is a nasty, dirty, and violent game with consequences. Sign up or get a regular job. Watch it or turn off the TV and go fishing with your kids. It's really that simple. I know there are probably legal and financial implications that prevent this blunt depiction, but am not sure if you have a choice. If you don't say it now, the mounting evidence being revealed publicly will say it for you very soon. In all, I love you, and if anyone can lead us out of this mess, it will be you. And oh, by the way, I have a deal for you. I'm having a rebound year and plan to do a lot of celebrating in the end zone. Can my fine money go to supporting ex-players suffering? Sincerely, Chad. I thought that was interesting because it is what it is. There's nothing that the NFL PR machine can say that can make it less violent. You know, even with this, what they're doing, there's still the danger of serious injury on every play in the NFL.
And we talked about that with the bounty gate, that part of the uproar was naive people having their eyes opened, that this is a gladiatorial game with violence and consequences, and it's not, you flick the switch off at Sunday, the switch doesn't get flicked off for the players and their injuries and that.
But there are some things that I think they still can do. One of them being cracking down on performance-enhancing substances. Because I think we were talking about it in the office the other day, people are just getting too big for their bodies.
Yeah.
They can't, the bone structure just can't support these frames that are like, 6'2", 6'3", 350 pounds, running as fast as they can. All these, these Achilles tendon heels injuries we're seeing, the pectoral tears that we're seeing,
like
tricep tears. These kind of things didn't happen in as great a frequency as they are now. You got to put two and two together. I think that's one thing that can reduce the violent nature of it, because if you don't have guys who are that big, that fast, running around at that violent a speed, you're not going to have as many serious injuries. But they have to admit that that's a problem first, and they have to try to deal with it.
They won't. That lawsuit will come later, and they'll admit liability.
But do you ever think there will be a day where the league just says, okay, look, this is what it is. You sign that contract, and you know what you're getting into. We'll reveal all the medical reports you want, but we're not going to change the game and take the violence out of it.
Yes.
You know?
I think
that's the point.
And everybody likes it. Everybody likes the violence. Everybody likes the hits.
We'll make it clear that you know what you're getting into and all that stuff. We're not going to hide anything.
Well, the thing
but you are getting into it.
The thing I wonder is there going to be as rich a talent pool to choose from in years to come? Because you look at comments like, I think it was Kurt Warner the other day, said he didn't want his kids to play football.
Yeah, did you see how fast he backtracked on that?
But that's, you have to think that's how he really feels.
When Dad called, you're on the NFL Network, don't tell people that kids shouldn't play football.
But I think that's an indication of how he really feels. And I'm sure he's not the only football player who's ever said that. I think, are we going to, you're right, it's a popular game, everybody likes to see it, but how many parents sitting there want to see somebody else's kids do it and not their own kids become vegetables later on in life or whatever? So at some point, I think we're at a point where it's starting to get, kids are choosing other sports because this is so dangerous. Mm. And you're going to get to a point in the future, if they don't change things, that it's not going to be as talent rich.
And that's the first step.
And the quality of the game is
going to
deteriorate.
The 45-year or whatever generational decline of the NFL. It's not about the league. It's about the talent pool coming up through. And then you'll be, at some point, it'll become a socioeconomic thing where the poor individuals, even individuals maybe from Africa and other countries, will be brought in, and you'll see some sort of a pipeline because they're willing to risk it for the advancement
in
their life.
Well, look at boxing. Boxing has become a socioeconomic sport in that it's poor kids.
Right.
It's poor kids. You don't see rich kids getting into boxing.
Right.
You know?
And it's the same thing. It's health. It's concussions. It's, and, I mean, I don't know how boxing has dealt with concussions over the years. I don't know.
I don't know. Have they?
I don't know. That's my point is, do they just turn a blind eye?
I mean, what do you do in boxing? The idea is to hit the guy in the head. There's nothing else you can do about it, you know?
Right, but that's my point. At some point,
well, would wearing headgear, like in the Olympics, they wear the headgear. Would that do anything?
No. No.
I don't
think it really would.
I mean, maybe a little minute, but no, not really. I don't think so.
Yeah. Hamza in Toronto says, okay, I know Fred suffered a concussion when he fell as a kid, but Emmett Smith, you know the guy who broke Walter Payton's record? He played with that guy who calls games on Fox with Joe Buck, you know, Tory something. All right, so briefly, I forgot Emmett Smith's name. I knew all about him,
it's
and he
crowd,
went to Arizona.
It's a tough crowd here.
Anyway, I'm hoping this season we see the return of the old 1-5-5 defense with Wilfork playing with his hand down, Ninko and Jones on the outside, and our middle linebacker trio in the middle. That seems like putting the best talent on the field. What do you think of that as our sub-defense instead of the 4-2-5 we normally play?
I will say it again. I think you are going to see every personnel grouping you could possibly see this year. My boy Matt Patricia, we've talked about it a little bit. No, I think versatility is the name of this defensive scheme this year. You'll see everything. Some might suck, and then you won't see it as much.
It's all about matchups.
Or game plan defense.
Andy's tune of time was 5 minutes and 16 seconds.
I could have gone faster if I wanted to.
Oh, I know you
still partaking in the show.
Yep.
And those, I could have done faster with bread, too. Those pockets are like chewy. You got to chew those a little bit more. You can't really swallow it right away.
Let's see. Emails.
So it's been a problem for you, hasn't it?
What?
Not being able to swallow right away.
Stripper says cigarettes have warnings. Football should. I don't think football
Well, first of all, the helmets do.
Right.
It says this does not guarantee safety, blah, blah, blah. There's some legal mumbo-jumbo on it.
No, but the dangers of football are apparent. It's the concussions specifically that we're talking about. Cigarettes, nobody knew what was in them. That was different, you know. But you can watch a football game and know, oh, this is dangerous. You know?
Doesn't take a genius.
Yeah. Oh.
Olivier is calling in on the Ace Ticket Hotline. Hey, Olivier.
Gentlemen, how are you? Long time no talk.
Yeah,
where you been?
What's up?
I've been listening faithfully, and I'm happy that Welker signed, finally.
Faithfully? Yes, we're all happy. Now, the next step, maybe, is a long-term deal. Get him a three-year deal and call it a career, Slugger.
And yeah, things like
that's,
that.
That's fantastic. Listen, I have a few comments to make. Number one, I'm thrilled about the draft. I think that we've done great things. I hope it will pan out and it will pay dividends. But one comment I wanted to make is, what is wrong with Tom Brady's way of dressing? I mean, I don't know. I saw him at the Kentucky Derby. I saw him at this function in New York. What's going on here?
Well, the Derby, I think you give him a pass because everybody does crazy stuff for the Derby with the hats.
Okay.
Welker had a get-up on, but your larger question is accurate. What's wrong with him? I agree.
I think it's more the hair than the dressing.
Well, he always dresses
weird. Dressing like a Euro, blah, blah, blah. But dressing like a Euromo is
really bad. Oh. See now.
Euro is a euphemism. Euro is a euphemism.
Hey, I'm a Euro. I know what I'm talking about. You know.
Do you have a man purse?
I'm sorry?
Do you carry a man purse?
No, I don't have the same one as you do.
Do you partake in anal?
No, I don't.
What is that? Where does that come from?
I didn't ask if he was a pitcher or a catcher.
It's the line from 300, I think.
Analysis.
No, but seriously, I mean, I heard you the other day. You were talking about to another person just before. I think it was Eric that disrespected his elder people from South Carolina. But you were saying, what should we do? What should we have done in the draft to go from 31st in defense to number five, for example? Did we have the possibility to select other people than the ones that we've selected in the first or second draft to really get there? What's your take on that?
Well, Tavon Wilson, or Tavon, I still, how do you say it, Tavon?
I don't know.
Is going to be the, if he isn't a contributor, if he isn't ready to play, if he's just a special teamer, that'll be the one that gets criticized. I think defensively up front in the first round, you added to your linebacking core, you added to your pass rush, you added versatility, everything. But if you don't get a guy that can contribute in the second round when you took a defensive player there, that's going to be the question mark. He's got some pressure on him.
And I think you needed to do a little bit more probably in free agency to get from where they were last year up into the top 10 or the
right.
top 5. You couldn't have just done it through the draft.
Because it's the Anderson-Carter thing. They had two guys on the edge, one who was very good in Carter, a Pro Bowl talent, and Anderson, who was a good complementary pass rusher. So one of those is gone. One of them may be gone for part of the year, all of the year, whatever. You need to get back to that. So Jones and Trevor Scott have to be as good as those guys and then better for you to improve.
Do you anticipate more free agency signing that we haven't contemplated yet?
Fred?
Or do you think it's it?
What's that?
You want to handle that? He wants to know if we anticipate any more free agent signings.
There's always people available that come available that you didn't expect. So, yes, I do anticipate more free agent signings.
As quality depth management is an issue this offseason.
Now, as
starting management would be nice,
a new
too.
A writer for ESPN pointed out this morning, I believe his name is Field Yates.
Yes.
Patriots are at
Not
88 on the roster, 88 people on their roster, so they have two slots open.
Does that include
Welker? Heartline.
Did it include
Welker? Oh, no, I don't think
so
it did.
So now they're down to one?
So now they're down to one. So they,
so
they'd have to make moves in order to bring more people on. But, you know, as we saw today with Heartline, who knew that he was going to be let go?
And,
surprise release.
Right. Really, I was stunned. I thought he really got a footing in here, fourth quarterback.
All right, Olivier, thanks for the call.
Thanks for your time, guys. You guys are doing a great job. And, Eric, enjoy Paris. It's going to be fun.
I will. I can't wait.
Thank you.
Party like a Viking.
Okay.
See you guys.
What did he say?
Something like a Viking?
I don't know, but, you know.
I bet it was dirty.
It was very dirty.
Yeah.
He was trying to sneak it in there at the end.
One night in Paris, that video. Lance says that Eric needs
one
a
night
fleshlight.
In Paris is,
I don't know what that is.
An adult Paris
video?
Hilton sex tape.
Oh.
Yeah, don't get into that, Freddie.
Don't
get into
really
what?
Really nasty?
What's nasty? What?
I don't want to say it then.
Well, you just said it. I just wasn't listening.
No, that's good. So then that means probably other people didn't hear it either.
Was there pictures?
No.
All the good stuff gets taken away.
Well, it's because you never shut up. So no one can hear
you
what anyone else
to
is
mind
saying.
It when you were sucking down your meatballs while I was carrying the show because I had no lunch.
I managed to partake while I was eating.
No, you didn't. You were...
You didn't spill anything, at least.
He was
That's
just
good.
Mad because we were eating and
yeah,
he wasn't.
Yeah, of course.
Irate.
He's
like
grumpy.
He's like a big baby.
Right.
Oh, you all would have... We all would sulk equally. Paul, a little bit more than most of us.
Paul would have stormed out.
Yes.
He would have stormed
and
out.
And slammed his
D'Angelo
sub
point.
On the table.
No, he would have made a point to go and get something and come back.
But,
and then slam it down on the
but
table.
But the funny thing, what we're talking about is for a while, Paul didn't like the food that they were serving us for free up in the press box.
He still doesn't.
So, you know, he would complain about it. So one day, you know, to make a point, he goes out to D'Angelo's, buys a sub, and while we're eating our free food, comes back with the sub that he bought and slams it on the table. And he's trying to tell us that I wasn't trying to make a point. Oh, no.
Right. I thought of Paul this weekend. I actually had a Paul-like little thing. We did a 5K on Mother's Day, and I was pushing the kids. Huge crowd. And I said, excuse me. And Jackson and I are running. We're trying to get to the race. And this group of people wouldn't move. So I just kind of go. And I, boom, ran over a guy's foot.
Oh,
and so, but I still have to go slow because there's other people. And I can hear the woman saying, "Geez, guy's just barreling right through." And I'm like, "Well, yeah, that's true." So I'm going to let. Then she goes, "The least he could do would say, excuse me."
Okay. Now it's on. I backed up. By the way, he's got his Shaq tank top on at the time.
And I go, "Actually, I did say, excuse me, twice. Maybe if you weren't just standing there doing nothing and were actually listening, you'd know that." And I just turned
around.
Wow. And the woman, she must be a know-it-all because all the people with her didn't even, like, get angry. They just, like, started laughing at her. So clearly she's the woman who talks too much and says stupid things in public.
Good.
Fighting a woman, I thought of, you know, right. Paul.
Well, right. We have a story time with Andy now. Cue that up.
Either that or those are all her coworkers, and it's like PFW, where you just laugh at other people's.
All right. Well, that's going to be it for this edition of PFW in Progress. It's been great. I want to thank Dante Stallworth for stopping in. That was really nice.
Eric's cousin.
Pepe LePan for the live tweets.
Eric's cousin.
What's her name?
Giving you some makeup.
Jess. I just can't remember.
That's okay.
I'm not good.
I know.
I couldn't remember.
Doing the makeup for Crash Force Production and Kevin in the booth. Paul's on leave, and we don't know if we'll ever see him again. But we'll see you on Thursday.
That was another unpredictable edition of PFW in Progress, the podcast for informed Patriots fans worldwide. Like what you heard from the PFW boys? Then support the show and follow your team even more closely by subscribing to the paper that makes the podcast possible, Patriots Football Weekly. Get your subscription right now by calling 1-800-494-PATS or by logging on to pfwonline.com. There's even a web-only international option for Patriots fans outside the U.S. PFW in Progress, brought to you by the writers of Patriots Football Weekly.